By playing, and the caring staff at Thinkertoys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinkertoys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinkertoys is open daily.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. Home sales are down again. CBS's Claire Laika says these are existing home sales numbers.
Home resales fell to their lowest level in 2.5 years last month as the once red-hot housing market continues to lose steam. Sales of existing homes plunged more than 4% in July, a bigger-than-expected drop, with the inventory of unsold homes climbing to a record high.
So now it's what the experts call a buyer's market. David Luray, chief economist at the National Association of Realtors.
The higher mortgage rates are starting to really weaken some of our nation's markets. And the housing sector is getting fragile right now. It's contracting, and prices need to come down in order to bring buyers back into the market.
If embryos don't have to be destroyed to develop new lines of pristine embryonic stem cells, then opponents have no kick coming, says Dr. Robert Lanza at Advanced Cell Technology.
We can now generate these stem cells without destroying the embryo, and thus without destroying its potential for life.
Lanza says they simply take one stem cell from an embryo and grow more in the lab. Some scientists criticize, saying it's more efficient to just grow embryos for harvesting. And Catholic bishops say if stem cells can become humans, not yet proven, they should not be used. Iran's proposal to talk seriously about its nuclear program won't fly with the U.S.
The response, however, falls short of the conditions set by the Security Council.
That's White House spokeswoman Dana Perino, who says the Security Council now must decide what to do next. With nearly 20% of female cadets claiming they've been sexually assaulted at the Citadel, it's 27 cases, 17 of which were never reported to authorities. It's been a decade since the Citadel opened its doors to women cadets. 118 women were enrolled last year, along with nearly 1,800 men. 17 of those women did not report it. Are you ready for Survivor, the races? Quite literally, teams based on race for the next show. It's already controversial.
I think that that spectacle is going to be enormously divisive and reprehensible.
That's Patricia Williams, professor at Columbia University. And yes, Survivor is a CBS TV show. A family camping trip turned to tragedy when an 18-month-old little girl slipped out of her mother's arms into the fast-moving Platte River in Nebraska. She was swept downstream, taking with it the very heart of her parents. The miracle is, Boy Scouts were swimming some distance downstream, and they spotted the little girl floating by, face down. They jumped in, pulled her out, resuscitated her, and now, aside from getting too cold, the baby's going to be fine. On Wall Street, the Dow lost about 42 points, NASDAQ off 15. Oil prices, $71.76 a barrel, down $1.34. This is CBS News.
Come into your local Goodyear retailer for the Goodyear MVP Tire Sale. Plus, get up to a $40 cash card with a purchase of 4 selected Goodyear tires. And ask how you can double your cash card value up to $80 on qualifying purchases. Our lineup is stacked from top to bottom with Goodyear's most valuable products, like the award-winning Assurance and Forterra tires featuring triple tread technology. Hurry, because both the Goodyear MVP Tire Sale and cash card offers end August 26th. Call 1-800-GOODYEAR for the complete details and the retailer near you. Certain restrictions apply.
Hello, would you like to be more successful with the opposite sex? I'm Ted Baker, and my program can teach you how to attract a mate. Listen to this.
Ted told me about logging on to freecreditreport.com. I learned that my good credit could help me buy a car and a boat, and now chicks dig me.
My patented system could work for you, too. Log on to freecreditreport.com to get your free credit score and report. A nice condo could make you irresistible.
Get your free credit score and report with enrollment in Triple Advantage at freecreditreport.com. Get the score.
Wildfire danger is up again in the West. CBS's Stephen Kaufman explains.
Red flag warnings are posted for wide areas of the Pacific Northwest.
Very dry, very windy conditions.
Joni Kornstrom with the Interagency Coordination Center says a complex of wind-driven fires in southeast Washington prompted officials to urge as many as 300 people to leave their homes.
The Columbia Complex, which is actually a complex of 11 fires, is 15,000 acres and 0% contained.
The flames were sparked by lightning earlier this week. Stephen Kaufman, CBS News, Spokane.
The crowd was watching the movie Snakes on a Plane in Phoenix when suddenly some of them started getting up from their seats with great haste and assorted yips and hoots and hollers. Pranksters evidently released a couple of diamondback rattlesnakes into the theater, which brought a touch too much realism to the movie. No one was bitten. The snakes were caught and released back into the desert. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
The following is an OnStar conversation.
OnStar Emergency, this is Dean.
Yes, I lost my purse with the keys in my car.
Well, that's okay. We can get that unlocked for you. Can I get your PIN number?
Okay, it's 063.
OnStar can send a signal to unlock your doors in most cases.
The reason why I need to get in my car is because I'm on my way to work.
Now, I have gone ahead and I've sent the signal out to your vehicle.
Okay.
The peace of mind OnStar offers is more affordable than you might think.
I have some good news. It just unlocked.
It did.
It did.
So can I try?
Go ahead.
Oh, it's open.
Wonderful.
Oh, thank you so much. Please. You just saved my job.
Oh, well, I'm glad I could.
Thank you.
Oh, no problem. Have a great night.
The first year of OnStar service is included on new OnStar-equipped GM vehicles, and unlimited use of all safety and security services costs only $16.95 plus tax per month after that. To experience OnStar, press your blue button or visit OnStar.com. OnStar by GM.
Welcome to another edition of the Peter B. Collins Show from the Left Coast. It's live, it's unrehearsed, it's unscripted progressive talk radio. And we're on the air in Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz, Carmel by the Sea, and Freedom, California on KRXA 540. We're also heard on KGOE 1480, Eureka, Arcata, Humboldt County. And people listen to this program in the nighttime in Sacramento on 1240 Chalk City, KSAC, and in Phoenix, Arizona on the Progressive Talk Station, KPHX 1480. Wherever you are, and however you happen to be listening, I'm delighted you have found us. And I have some great news for you. If you're one of the people who've been trying to email me and it bounced back, we fixed it. Our fabulous webmaster, Nick Urban, was here today, and we used a digital roto-rooter. It turns out that one of those spam emails offering penis enlargement had just actually expanded and blocked everything else in the email account. So my apologies if your emails have been rejected, but you can drop me a note, peter@peterbcollins.com, or loudmouth@peterbcollins.com if you think that's more appropriate. In just a moment, we'll introduce our guest this hour, New York Times environmental writer Andrew C. Revkin. We're going to talk about his new book about the North Pole and what the North Pole tells us about climate change on this planet. And later this hour, California Assemblywoman Fran Pavley will join us. She's co-author of AB 32, the global warming bill that's working its way through the California legislature right now. And we'll get her ideas on what its prospects for passage and a signature from Governor Schwarzenegger, our new green governor. We'll see what those prospects look like. Coming up next hour, the candidate opposing Richard Pombo in this November's election, Democrat Jerry McNerney, will return to our program. Also on the show today, Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor of RawStory.com, and she'll update her reporting on the looming conflict with Iran. That's all ahead, plus the free speech zone in our final hour. And you're welcome to call this program whenever you like to join the conversation. We pay for the call toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 888-573-8372 or 888-5-PETER-B. And the last couple of evenings, I've spent some time breezing through a fascinating new book written by the environmental writer from the New York Times, Andrew C. Revkin. We honor middle initials and full names here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Andy, welcome to our program today.
It's good to be here. Nice to talk with you. How many trips have you made to the North Pole?
Only one to the North Pole, three to the Arctic since 2003 altogether. But it's really hard to get to the North Pole, actually. So it's amazing that these scientists that I focus the book on have been able to go every year. They're trying to do something unbelievably hard, which is to take consistent measurements of climate change and ocean changes at the top of the world. But it's an ocean up there, not a continent like Antarctica. So
yeah,
well, pain in the butt.
Let's start right there, because honestly, I've never focused much on the North Pole, and I probably have been misled by all the Santa Claus mythology over the years. But that was one of the first things that was an aha as I was reading your book, that many people think that the North Pole is a fixed place on the planet Earth. But in fact, we now know, because of GPS technology, that magnetic north is not exactly at the North Pole, and that the North Pole is a movable feast.
Yeah, the North Pole that everyone thinks of mostly is a geographic reality that doesn't move. It really is. It's the line the world spins around. It's the axis of rotation, just like if you spin a globe on your desk, you know, there's one line that, that it's spinning around. So the North Pole itself, in that sense, the geographic North Pole doesn't ever move. The magnetic pole exists because the Earth's molten core has got a lot of iron and magnetic materials in it, and it's kind of shifting all the time slowly, and that's why that's hundreds of miles away from the geographic North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and the book is called The North Pole Was Here for two reasons. Mainly, the ice that we were camped on up there, that's moving in a hurry, too. It's 400 yards an hour. This sea ice cloak that's floating on the Arctic Ocean is always drifting. It's like a giant turntable the size of America.
And do you have any sense of it shifting underneath you when you're standing there on the ice pack?
Well, hours will go by when you totally forget that, and then suddenly something weird will happen. Like there'll be a big crack that will form and spread, and you see black water that was just ice a minute ago, and when you, it takes a minute before you remember that water is 14,000 feet deep, and you tread very cautiously when that happens.
And 28 degrees or less.
Yeah, about 28 degrees. It's salt water freezes at a colder temperature than fresh water.
So mm-hmm.
Not something I would want to go into. And by the way, some of the science crew I was with actually did dive into that water to retrieve these instruments they put under the ice. It's kind of an amazing procedure.
Well, that has to be a dry suit dive or maybe using a little diving submersible.
It was dry suits.
Yeah.
But they had exposed skin, you know, around their diving masks and stuff, and just not what I would call fun. Of course, to them it was probably balmy because the air is 20 degrees below zero and the water is 28 degrees above zero. So if you had your choice, it's actually warmer underwater.
Well, I'm a scuba diver. In fact, I got certified in Monterey Bay, which is 50 degrees. And I was there at the bottom with an 18-inch view of some kelp. I saw one fish. That was it on my entire first dive. And I made a pledge there to only dive in warm water, and I've honored that ever since.
Yeah.
But I was diving in Mexico once with some Canadians from Saskatchewan, and they were telling diving stories about the long winters in Canada. And these guys put on dry suits, and for people who don't dive, you probably know what a wetsuit is. Surfers wear them, and it helps insulate the body, but your skin can get wet underneath. In a dry suit, you're basically encapsulated in a rubber suit that you can heat with air inside, so you're not directly in contact with the water. And these guys use dry suits, and they ice dive in the winter. They go in the holes that the ice fishermen carve in the bodies of water up there. They dive under the ice, and this one guy told me a story of playing soccer upside down under the frozen surface of a lake. And I just thought, wow. It must get really boring in Saskatchewan in the winter.
That is amazing. I'd love to see video of that.
I'd like him to prove that he's actually done it. I thought it was an interesting story. I'm not quite sure I believe it all. Andrew C. Revkin is our guest, R-E-V-K-I-N. He has published this fascinating new book, The North Pole Was Here, and it's out in hardcover. And explain the audience of this book, because you have written in a style that I find very accessible. wonderful. This is a graphically rich book. And the promo materials kind of suggested that you're tired of writing for adult audiences.
Yeah, the book came about when I got back from the North Pole. I'd filed a bunch of stories and web multimedia stuff about the climate change in the Arctic and about the experiences up on the ice. And I just started saying to editors, you know, there's a great book here to be written for younger people about this. And I'd been pestering the Times for a while to think about starting to focus on the next generation. And frankly, after writing about global warming, I've been writing about global warming for almost 20 years for mm-hmm. grown-ups. And given the pace of action, response, I've started to think that it's time to switch to the next generation. I'm not quite sure we're going to get
Now, wait a minute, Andy. Have I been written off?
Well, you know, I just turned 50, and I'm looking at my own life, and we've done what we can with our house to make it more energy efficient, and when I buy my next car, it'll be a Prius if I can ever afford one. And but I think we're so embedded in our fossil fueled culture that I think I just see too much stasis. I guess we'll be talking about California's legislative options, but
yeah, we will.
They're just nibbling at the edges of the problem. I have a piece coming in the paper in a few weeks that mm-hmm. lays out what a profound challenge confronts us in this century to move away from these fuels that have essentially underpinned everything we've done for 150 years.
So, Andy, if we wanted to find out about the dark side of you, Andrew C. Revkin, would I be able to find that at the Competitive Enterprise Institute's website?
Well, you know, but you could find it. Senator Inhofe from Oklahoma recently criticized this book as alarmist, which I take strong issue with. I think it's actually the most science-driven account of climate change that's out there. But if you actually, I posted, Amazon.com has this new feature for authors where you can have a blog on your mm-hmm. your homepage at Amazon.com. So if someone goes to Amazon.com and puts Revkin or North Pole was here in the search box, you'll find Inhofe's complaints and my response, which I think all sort of speaks for itself.
Very good. We'll continue in just a moment and talk more about this new book, The North Pole Was Here. Andrew C. Revkin, environmental writer for the New York Times and a prize-winning writer, is our guest this hour. And as we mentioned, we'll be joined later on in the hour by Assemblywoman Fran Pavley. She is co-author of the Assembly Bill 32, which focuses on remedies to climate change. And it's focused, of course, only in California. We'll talk about that before the end of the hour. If you have a question or comment, you're welcome to bring it on. 888-5-PETER-B is the toll-free number. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Saturday, September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lie.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Hello? Hello? What's in the box? Tell me what's in
in the box.
Rock Rollin' Real Estate. This week, Glenn Plantone will be our guest on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Some of his hot spots are North Carolina and Costa Rica. Give him a call at 702-769-9872. That's this Sunday on Rock Rollin' Real Estate. Sunday mornings at 10 right here on KRXA.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
The Grove Market in Pacific Grove is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Locally owned and operated for 37 years by the Higuera family, the Grove Market boasts the finest selections of just-picked conventional and organic produce our Central Coast farms have to offer. The Grove Market's full-service meat department specializes in the highest quality, choice, fresh-cut, and prepared meats. Local artisanal bakeries deliver breads and other delectable baked goods hot from the oven every morning. To perfect your gourmet home-cooked meal, choose from the Grove Market's outstanding selection of Monterey wines. The Grove Market features competitive prices, personalized service, and home delivery in PG and New Monterey. You can't go wrong at the Grove Market. So shop Monday through Saturday from 8 to 7 and 9 to 6 on Sundays in downtown Pacific Grove, 242 Forest Avenue, just above Lighthouse. The Grove Market, where the locals shop.
And the Peter B. Collins Show continues, 21 minutes past the hour. Our guest is Andrew C. Revkin. He's the environmental writer for the New York Times and the author of this great new book called The North Pole Was Here, loaded with photographs and graphic charts and very interesting explanations of what is really under the polar ice cap. And as we proceed into this hour, we're going to talk about what the North Pole can tell us about climate change on this planet. Andy Revkin, I want to go back to something we touched briefly on in the first segment, and that is what's called magnetic north. I'm a sailor. And I certainly love GPS. It's, it's a quantum leap forward from the old compasses. But I'm really curious because I've used compasses for navigation most of my life. And I had a kind of hazy sense that magnetic north was not exactly at the North Pole. Right. But describe for us, you know, how compasses work, what the phenomenon is that produces magnetic north, and whether or not compasses work as you approach the zone that is magnetic north.
Sure. Well, everything kind of works poorly at the North Pole. Even GPS, which, you know, is so amazing now because it's so precise. When you get close to the pole, it starts doing loop-the-loops because essentially, you think about it, as if you're standing at the very North Pole, if you move a foot away from it in one direction or another, you're going south.
Right.
Every direction is south from the North Pole, and that can really confuse everything. The book, by the way, tells the whole history of our idea of north. In fact, there's a chunk of it that focuses on the earliest ideas of that there was a top of the world that was different than the rest of the world. China, which first came up with the magnetic compass about 3,000 years ago, they realized that a magnetic needle put on a bucket of water would point in a certain direction always. And that's when we started getting this concept that something's up there.
Mm-hmm.
People started to understand the basics of astronomy, and you realized the world was rotating, and that all led to this idea that there's a unique place. There was a Greek explorer who tried to head as far north as he could. They think he got to Scotland.
That's Pythias?
Pythias.
Pythias, okay.
And he wrote about this, the sea turning to something other than water. And he was probably looking at ice flows. And it's so interesting to track from then on forward. We still had a very fuzzy idea of what the North Pole was about as recently as the mid-1800s. There were serious oceanographers who thought that there was an open polar sea, which may be what we're headed toward in this century because of global warming. But back then, really, was definitely as far from the truth as you can get because it was much colder climate 150 years ago.
Yeah. I understand the Club Med and Sandals have been staking out property up there.
Yeah. Well, we did a whole series of stories in the paper last year on what we called the Big Melt that talks about all the there's already a lot of jockeying for position as the Arctic Ocean is looked at as a new ocean in coming decades, and countries that never thought twice about security issues up there like Canada and Denmark were recently they didn't quite come to start a shooting war over this little island, but they started planting the Canadian and Danish flags on it, saying, hey, no, it's mine. And the only reason they're interested is because suddenly there's talk of oil under that ice, and if the ice goes away, you could actually drill for it. And so it really is a transforming place.
So what is magnetic north? What causes that phenomenon?
Well, any magnet has two poles. You know, if you just put a bar magnet on a sheet of paper and iron filings, you see the two poles. And the Earth is a big magnet. And it has shifted. The poles have flipped periodically over hundreds of thousands or millions of years. And but they've always, for a very long time, what's north and south on the planet has been pretty much the same. But the magnetic north is on the move. And there's a chapter in the book that shows you the map of how that spot has been shifting over toward Canada. It's actually within the Canadian archipelago now.
I find that fascinating.
Yeah, I do too. I spent a year and a half at sea long ago, and we didn't have GPS or any of that stuff, a $50 sextant. And so I got very, very, we definitely appreciated what a compass could tell you.
I'm looking at this full-color graphic on page 33, which shows the migration of magnetic north, and it has been moving north since 1904 when it was first, at least that's the first mark on here, and it's moving progressively northward. Am I reading that correctly?
I believe it. Yeah, now it is. I'd have to. It's been a while since I actually wrote the book. I need to speak out of school.
There's a yellow bar that goes from 1620 to 1860 showing it moving south, and then from 1904 to 2001, it's moving north in a red line.
Yeah, that's right. And what happens is, the core of this solid Earth, I mean, we get so used to the Earth feeling like a solid, is actually liquid. The rock 100 miles down and more, you get into a very dynamic place. And as that iron core shifts around, and there's a lot of mystery still about what causes the changes, but there's presumed to be currents there, literally, inside the Earth. That I'm talking not about electric current, but actual flows of iron that cause the magnetic field to shift.
Interesting. So what comprises the polar ice cap? Is it all salt water? Is it a mix of salt and fresh? Or are there any solids between the surface and the sea?
The sea ice on top of the Arctic Ocean is about 6 to 9 feet thick. And every summer it shrinks enough so that there's a lot of open water now, more and more these days around the edges of the continents. But that ice, if it's more than a year or so old, and a lot of it is what they call multi-year ice, it's actually been there through the summer, the preceding summer, most of the salts actually kind of squeeze out of the ice. So the ice itself is fresh, and you could melt it and drink it. The fresh ice, though, still got salt in it, and you can actually see channels form in it as it starts to, the salts kind of bleed out through the ice.
Any minerals or other elements in that?
Well, the other thing that's in it is there's a lot of biology in it. You think of sea ice as being pretty sterile, but it actually supports a pretty rich ecosystem. There's enough sunlight that gets through in the summer from the top to the ocean side, to the bottom, that algae grow there. And then there are these tiny shrimp-like organisms that eat the algae, and there are little tiny Arctic cod that eat the shrimp, and then there are seals that eat the cod, and then there are, of course, polar bears that eat the seals. So it's actually very dynamic biologically. And when that shifts or goes away or retreats in summer, that's why there's some concerns about polar bears having a much harder time later in the century.
Yeah. Andy, we got to go to a break. We'll return in just a moment, and then we're going to shift our conversation to what the North Pole and the ice cap can tell us about global warming and some of the concerns that accelerated climate change could occur at the poles, particularly the North Pole. We'll pick up there as we continue with New York Times environmental writer Andrew C. Revkin. His new book is The North Pole Was Here. Questions and comments? Bring them on. 888 5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. I'm Peter B. Collins.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
For whatever legal advice you need, go to Lawyers on Duty. Whether it's for your estate planning, divorce, custody, probate, or a living trust, Lawyers on Duty has experienced attorneys with realistic fees. There's no need to go anywhere else. At Lawyers on Duty, they're available, knowledgeable, and affordable. Located in the courtyard behind Rosine's on Alvarado Street, Monterey. Lawyers on Duty open every weekday 9 to 5. Call Lawyers on Duty, 375-5100, 375-5100. Alan Kaplan, owner.
Hans Auto Repair in Seaside is hands down the finest Volvo maintenance and repair shop in Monterey County. Owners Mike Brooks and Tracy Palacco are both factory trained in Volvo service and repair. They provide outstanding quality and great service at reasonable prices. They only work on Volvos, so you know that your Volvo will be in caring and skilled hands. Hans Auto Repair is at 384 Olympia Avenue in Seaside, or you can call Mike and Tracy at 583-9820. That's 583-9820. Miguel Sarmiento, owner and chef of the Mexicali Grill in New Monterey, cordially invites you to visit his restaurant and enjoy quality Mexican food prepared with California seasonings and sauces, all with personalized, attentive service. Miguel has more than 14 years of experience preparing Italian, Hawaiian, Mexican, French, and American dishes in restaurants throughout Monterey County. Looking to savor the best Mexicali cuisine served with great margaritas or fine imported or domestic beers? Visit the Mexicali Grill today, located at 204 Lighthouse Avenue at the corner of Reeside Avenue in New Monterey. The Mexicali Grill is open daily for lunch from 11 to 3 and for dinner from 5 to 9. For takeout orders, call 375-9801. That's 375-9801. Miguel has a message for all Central Coast residents who appreciate delicious, high-quality Mexican food at reasonable prices.
Todos son bienvenidos en el Mexicali Grill. Try us. You'll like us a lot.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
This is Frank Don. On Sunday evenings at 7 p.m. here on KRXA 540 a.m., join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour, a live call-in program to discuss astrology, the astrology of the world, and your own personal astrology. Let me answer your questions, and let me teach you how astrology can help you make better life choices. Here on KRXA 540 a.m. from 7 to 8 every Sunday evening, join me for Frank Don's Astrology Hour.
The Peter B. Collins Show continues, and I remain your humble host, Peter B. We're talking this hour with New York Times environmental writer Andrew C. Revkin, his new book, The North Pole Was Here. And this segment, we dip into global warming and what the North Pole can tell us about it.
Well, there's a little something that's been
freaking me. Read it in the news, I seen it on TV. It haunts me in the night and creeps me in the morning. A spooky little thing called global warming. It seems our indispensable amenities, like airspray, air conditioners, and SUVs, are causing big emissions, all of which are forming. A spooky little thing called global warming. Chlorofluorocarbon strip away ozone. They can't seem to leave the rainforest alone. Our temperatures are rising and it now deduced. The vampires of progress have come on to rule.
All the vampires of progress,
well,
yeah.
I always drive the freeway in a bulletproof vest. A fiber in my diet and a blood pressure test. But this one is a doozy which required forewarning. A spooky little thing called global warming.
That's Dr. Elmo, the guy who trashed Christmas with Grandma got run over by a reindeer, and now he's working on Halloween. That's from his CD released last year called Dr. Elmo Sings the Booze, and that's called Global Warming. Andy Revkin, is that a new tune to you?
I had not heard that one, and actually in my other life, I'm a musician and songwriter. I have a song about it, too, called Liberated Carbon, but that one might trump mine.
Where can we hear yours? Is it on a web?
It's not online. I do have a website, myspace.com/UncleWade. One word, that's the name of my band, but we haven't posted that one yet. But if someone got in touch with me, I could probably send them a copy.
And what style of music do you play?
Sort of rustic, rootsy, bluesy, folksy. Whatever that is.
Yeah. All right. Give us a defining song. Have you ever done the Wang Dang Doodle?
No. Let's see. A defining song. Well, we do Empire State Blues, which is a great blues and sort of a high rep style.
Yeah.
That's one of our trademarks.
Okay.
Along with my own tunes.
All right. Good. I want to turn now to the part of your book about climate change and what the North Pole and the ice cap and the seasonal changes can tell us. And you cite a guy who's right in the backyard of one of our radio stations, KRXA in Monterey, Tim Stanton, who is with the Naval Postgraduate School on the Central Coast. And he's working on a series of monitoring programs. Is that right?
Yeah, in fact, if you want to see him, he's really easy to find. I posted some video that I shot at the North Pole on video.google.com, thanks to my teenage son.
You've got free tech support?
Yes, I do. video.google.com. And if you just put North Pole in the search box, you'll see Tim Stanton standing there with me on the sea ice, and you can hear the ice under our feet vibrating and crunching as it's building a ridge and sort of coming apart at the seams underneath our feet, which is really was disturbing to me.
Yeah.
But he's part of this effort that's been going on since 2000 to try to take the first consistent measurements of what's going on in the ocean underneath that drifting sea ice up there as the world warms. There's been a clearly measured warming trend globally. And there's been a sharp regional warming in the Arctic, and everyone understands the physics of the Arctic is such that it turns a little global warming into a lot of regional warming. But what hasn't been well measured so far is what's going on in the Arctic Ocean underneath the ice, and it's very important because it's sort of a layer cake ocean. There's very cold, salty water down deep, and then there's fresher, warmer, less cold water
close
to the ice. And if that fresher layer gets thinner, then there's more heat coming close to the ice and it can melt it. And if that ice goes away earlier and earlier, as has been happening lately, in the summer we could get to the point of having an entirely open Arctic Ocean later in the century. And that also can build on itself. Basically, dark water absorbs a lot more sunlight than white ice.
Well, and anybody who has, you empty your cooler and you have a big chunk of ice that's congealed and you put it in the sink and you start either with cold water or warm water to melt it down.
Right.
And you see that as the process goes on, it accelerates.
Right. Yeah, because as it gets thinner, it's very quick for it to go away.
Right.
There are these big transitions, sort of thresholds that happen up there that don't happen elsewhere. And the easiest one to understand also is you can have a steady warming from, let's say, of the air from 28 to 31 degrees, and nothing happens, nothing happens, nothing happens. So all it takes is 1 degree. You get above 32, and suddenly you've passed the melting point of water. So all the ice starts to change, and so you can. It's more like a switch than a knob.
Mm-hmm. And Andy, you have this another great graphic here. Who did your graphics? We should give this person credit.
The book was designed by British. This has actually been published by a unit of Houghton Mifflin that's based in London, and they have some really good designers.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Mike Parchment. Parchment, okay. Believe it or not.
How about that? So here on page 79 is a beautiful 3D-like graphic called surface reflectivity. And what you're describing there is that as global warming causes the ice cap to melt and the summer seas are exposed for longer periods of time, the sun's energy is absorbed far more by the sea than it is by the reflective white surface of the snow cap. And so the more melting we have, the more exposed water we have, the more sun energy is absorbed at the pole, and the faster climate change will occur. Have I gotten that right?
You've gotten it right. And there obviously, there must be other kinds of sort of breaks on the system, because the world has gone through warm spells naturally, you know, in millions of years ago, and even within the last 11,000 years, there was at least one point when it was warmer than it is now. And it didn't go under, it's not like a total one-way street. It doesn't just warm until it becomes like Venus, which has no oceans and everything evaporated. That's one of the miracles of this planet we live on. It does have some self-regulating ability, but clearly the momentum up there for a long time to come will be in the direction of warmer conditions, less ice. And that matters to us in many ways. Weather patterns are shaped by the Arctic here in the Northern Hemisphere, and obviously Greenland, which I've also been to, is a huge chunk of ice that, if that melts, can greatly raise sea levels. And so suddenly you have this these linkages between the fate of the Arctic and the fate of our shorelines that make this all something that's worth paying attention to.
Well, and I learned from some marine biologists at the University of California, Santa Cruz, and others who focus on the Central Coast, that here along the Pacific, average temperature changes of just 1 or 2 degrees have a remarkable impact on sea life. And anemones, which is one of the few of those critters I can actually pronounce, they are dying off. Because the temperature has increased just a couple of degrees. So if we have this accelerated and more accentuated warming of the ice cap at and near the North Pole, then we could have a kind of dramatic escalation of the impact. Now, many people are familiar with the feature film Day After Tomorrow.
Right.
And its opening sequence, which was heavily dramatized. I don't think that's a secret. But it does, in a kind of time compression way, depict a worst case of the ripple effect of warming.
Right. There are, as we've come to know the oceans more, and they're still largely a mystery. We've scientists have understood there's all kinds of currents that flow that can regulate global climate in ways on really big scales that can change dramatically. There was a time 8,000 years ago when the Atlantic circulation shut down for a little while, and that cooled parts of Europe and greatly changed climate for centuries. And Day After Tomorrow essentially put that all in fast motion and made it into a horror movie, which was, you know, very fun to watch.
I'm still looking for that Russian freighter on Fifth Avenue near the library.
Yeah. I actually got to go to the set. I wrote about the movie, the making of the movie, from the climate context, just to sort of explain to readers what's plausible and what's just fun. And it was really remarkable to see how Hollywood makes these things happen. But what's happened since then, there was some initial science that seemed to say that the Atlantic could get into that same mode again if enough fresh water flowed from melting ice up north, you know, near Greenland. You could shut down the circulation. Now scientists are kind of backing off from the more dramatic scenario. And covering the climate for as long as I've done, almost 20 years, I've come to learn that when there's a new idea, a new idea about some feedback, whatever, it's good to watch how the science plays out a little while before you sort of write the page one story saying this is definitively what we know now.
Right.
Even with hurricanes, which have been, that's been the big question in the last couple of years, of course.
And where are the Category 4 and 5s this year?
Well, there's a lot of variability in nature, and it's very hard when you have rare events like hurricanes. There's only 90 a year tropical storms globally in the Indian Ocean, Pacific, and Atlantic, and that doesn't vary much at all. And so when you have rare events like that, you need a ton of them. You need decades and decades of good information to make a measurement of some change in trend, and we don't have that. And so that's why right now there's still a lot of debate within scientists about whether Katrina or that big pulse of hurricanes we've had recently is kind of our fault or not. And so there I try to, in my stories in the Times, I've tried to emphasize that what we do know profoundly well is the basics. Warmer ocean, hurricanes like warmer oceans, and the oceans will be warmer in a warm, in a globally warmed world, in a greenhouse gas warmed world. And so you can count on hurricanes being stronger later in the century.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be distracted by the sort of, well, is it happening now question. I think it really is sort of a red herring.
Understood. Now, coming back to the North Pole and, you know, what we can learn about climate change there, we have these monitoring programs underway. You point out in the book that most scientific experiments are based on a control group, and then the variables are applied, or hypotheses. Are applied to the other group. And here, of course, we cannot set up a control group because our whole planet is involved.
Yeah.
But you describe computer models, and what do they project about, let's just say, the next 10 or 15 years at the pole?
Well, the models project a lot of variability in the next 10 or 20 years. I did a long piece for the paper that ran last year on that very point. And, in fact, there could well be stretches between now and, say, 2030 when the Arctic sea ice will advance for a while. But the models all coalesce. They have the very same picture when you go later into the century. There's very high confidence that as warming passes certain points, you know, 2 or 3 degrees globally, that then you really do get perpetual conditions in summer up there that will make it likely you'll have almost a fully open Arctic Ocean,
mm-hmm.
a blue pole on the top of the world, which is something the planet hasn't seen at least for 8,000-10,000 years, and probably for much, much, much longer. So we don't have good data on, you know, what sea ice patterns were like in the deep past. But
so when do we recommend that Santa and the elves decamp?
Well, they might want to think about moving to Greenland, which has got a 12,000-foot-high, thick cap of ice on it. It'll take thousands of years for that to melt, even under runaway global warming.
And, Andy, we're going to a break here in a second, but I just wanted to put you on the spot for a second. Who are your peers whom you respect and whose work on climate change, global warming, you can recommend to our listeners?
Oh, boy. There are some scientists who've written very good books for the lay reader on this. They're a little, you know, they're definitely a more technical approach than what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
But John Firor, F-I-R-O-R, has written a couple of good books. One was called The Changing Atmosphere that came out in the early 90s that helped shape my writing. And I think, oh, there was a really important book that came out several years ago that I reviewed for the paper called The Discovery of Global Warming. And actually, the entire book is readable online. It's by a guy named Spencer Weart, W-E-A-R-T, who's
okay.
a historian of science. And
mm-hmm.
it, essentially, for anyone who doubts that there's a human influence on the climate system now, his book traces 100 years of the peer-reviewed research on the question
mm-hmm.
and really builds a powerful picture of the trajectory of our understanding, which has been unerring. You know, the trajectory of our understanding that greenhouse gases trap heat in the air, we're adding them to the atmosphere, and that is warming climate, has been in one direction. And there's been, you know, doubts and nibbles and quibbles and skepticism, and some of it obviously fed by professional skeptics. But if you look at the underlying science, it's just crystal clear that
mm-hmm.
we are influencing the global climate now.
We're talking with Andrew C. Revkin, Andy Revkin from the New York Times. He's their Enviro writer. The new book is called The North Pole Was Here. It's a fabulous read, quite accessible. Lots of great graphics. I recommend it to you. We'll continue in a moment, and we hope to be joined by California Assemblywoman Fran Pavley, co-author of the AB 32 Global Warming Bill that's working its way through the California legislature right now. Straight ahead. Here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
You're listening to KRXA 540.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale. At a new time, reality radio can now be heard every Saturday afternoon from 4 to 5. So keep it right here, AM 540, for extraordinary progressive talk. Number one in reality radio, with me, Sheila Gale. There's nothing we won't talk about. See us Saturday, 4 to 5, reality radio, right here on AM 540, KRXA.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special.
Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
All you guys on the left, you demonize this president.
At Gitmo, they're not even garden variety POWs. They're the worst of the worst. They don't even receive the protection of the Geneva Conventions.
Man, I really believe that pagans and the abortionists and the feminists and the gays and the lesbians who are actively trying to make out an alternative lifestyle, the ACLU, People for America, all of them who tried to secularize America, I point the thing in their face that you helped us have.
I totally concur. And the problem is we've adopted that agenda at a high level of our government. And so
I believe Saddam Hussein is a threat to the American people.
I've got good evidence to believe that.
Undeclared chemical warheads in Iraq.
The declaration that he made is proof positive.
Saddam Hussein possesses some of the world's deadliest weapons.
Saddam Hussein has biological weapons and the capability to rapidly produce more, many more.
The world is increasingly seeing this from the United States' point of view.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
He's not disarming.
Saddam Hussein is not disarming.
Tom Hartman.
The Bushies just don't get it. They think that the only way that you can get somebody to think the way that they think or the way that we think, the only way you can get someone to like America is to kill somebody. I mean, that's George Bush's strategy. If things aren't going well, kill somebody. Yeah, and if you can't kill them, then build a fence.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
I'm sorry, the world isn't that way. And, in fact, you want to see where the Republicans want to take us? Just look at where we were in 1890. Look at where, you know, look at Victorian England.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show, live from the Left Coast. I'm glad you're listening. Our guest this hour is Andy Revkin, Andrew C. Revkin, R-E-V-K-I-N, environmental writer at the New York Times. His new book is just great. I really find it enjoyable and informative, too. It's called The North Pole Was Here. And Andy, stand by. We're going to be joined now from Sacramento by Assemblywoman Fran Pavley. She is a Democrat and the co-author of AB 32, which is wending its way through the Sacramento Bill Mill. Assemblywoman, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show today.
Oh, thank you very much.
Nice to talk with you. And we've been talking this hour about climate change from the perspective of Andy Revkin's new book, which takes a look at the North Pole, the polar ice cap, where a little bit more dramatic developments are evident to people. And we're delighted that you and Speaker Nunez have sponsored a bill to put California on a fast track where Washington has failed us. So describe a little bit AB 32 and how it would work, what it would do.
All right. AB 32 has two primary parts to it. The first part would require mandatory reporting of greenhouse gas emissions across all significant contributor sectors that produce greenhouse gases, like utility plants, oil refineries, etc., because you have to be able to quantify and inventory emissions before you begin any discussion of reducing them.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seems to be absolutely fine with that. This is not onerous, but step one.
Yeah.
Step two, and this is the more challenging part of the bill, but absolutely the right policy. It will establish a cap on emissions of a 25% reduction by the year 2020.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of things in place here in California that's going to make this goal achievable. So we're going to put in a strong cap,
mm-hmm,
and to signal to the marketplace that we're serious on this. by putting in a cap, then CO2 and other greenhouse gas emissions have value. It will allow people to become very, very creative in how they reduce their emissions. We have lots of interest in the business sector, venture capitalists and everyone like that, who are looking at California becoming the home of these new clean technologies and especially alternative fuels.
Yeah. Well, and I would point out that when Nixon formed the EPA and we talked about cleaning up our water and air in the 1970s, all the naysayers said these are job killers. But it's been pretty well established that if we address these issues, we will create jobs. We will expand science-based industry in California and hopefully in the country. And it should be a net gain long term.
It absolutely is. We have reports done by a broad group of economists looking very closely at this. We know it's a job creator. We also know in California that the status quo is not good enough. Number one, it's sort of foolish to rely on one fuel source, that's oil, especially from the Middle East. It's unstable.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this as a real push to accelerate the production of alternative fuels in particular, and that would certainly be a win-win. It would create competition in the marketplace as far as fuel, which should lower prices for consumers. But I'm interested in it because it'll also be cleaner fuels. Mm-hmm. Oil is obviously a fossil fuel, which is the major contributor to global warming.
And Assemblywoman, will this either set the stage for or help develop an emissions trading system that California industry and other contributors to CO2 could embrace?
I think it'll eventually will promote and allow trading. Once you put a value on these emissions reductions, then you're going to create a market for trading, banking and borrowing. Right now what we need is other states to adopt a mandatory reporting system like California is doing so that we're all sort of operating on the same protocol so that trading can take place within other states, or even California is looking at possible trading programs with other countries.
Yes. Now, finally, the politics of this. The governor is, of course, up for re-election. That's not a secret. And he has tried to straddle, in my view, photo ops with BP and a lip service to fighting the climate change problems in this state. Do you think he's serious about global warming? And do you think he'll sign AB 32 if it gets through the House and the Senate?
Well, getting through the House and the Senate, we are in negotiations right now with people in the administration, and we have a couple of pieces of AB 32 that still need to be negotiated. We have a little over a week left in the session, so we're hoping we'll come to some kind of consensus. If not, the Speaker, who's the joint author with me on this bill, we're committed to getting a bill to the governor's desk and let him make that call. Now, he has been instrumental in creating our Million Solar Roof Initiative, which is part of the solution for reduction of greenhouse gases and green building designs.
Mm-hmm.
He has allowed money to be spent in the budget for fighting off the litigation by the automobile manufacturers who sued to stop a bill I carried 4 years ago, and that's to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in all passenger cars and light-duty trucks. And the exciting thing about that bill, and this is where California likes to sort of take the lead, is that prior bill, 10 other states now have adopted California's clean car regulations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're really sort of pushing the private sector. And I know the public's behind us. Poll after poll shows that the public gets it.
Let me see if Andy Revkin has a comment or a question for the Assemblywoman. Andy?
Well, California certainly is a laboratory for all of these things in a way that the rest of the country is not. A colleague of mine, I'll give you a little scoop here. Felicity Barringer has a story coming in the paper shortly that is a big piece looking at how California has set remarkable standards for energy efficiency and broken away from the American norm already for 20 years on energy use and that kind of thing. So it's, as a journalist, you know, it's clearly a place to watch. And one thing, though, again, in writing about this issue for so long, we have to remind ourselves that these kinds of gentle caps and initial actions of this sort on the consumption side are just the leading edge of a huge challenge that confronts the world if we're really going to stabilize not just the emissions of the gases, but mm-hmm. concentration in the atmosphere.
And indeed. I'm out of time here. Assemblywoman Pavley, thank you for taking time from your busy schedule to update us on AB 32. I hope you are successful.
Thank you very much.
Nice to talk with you. And Andy Revkin, let's talk again soon. I really enjoyed this, and there's a lot more I can learn from you.
Thank you again.
All right. And the book we mentioned, The North Pole Was Here, Andrew C. Revkin is the author, and it's out in hardcover. I really recommend it to you. That does it for this hour. The Peter B. Collins Show will continue next hour right here. I'm glad you're listening.
Come on in and you will see the Central Avenue Bakery. Smell the bread, try the scones. Everything's so tasty, you want to take it all home. Vegetarian is a good affair. We make our meals in a kosher kitchen. I'll make mine falafel with hummus stew. A side of couscous and a Bible galoosh, yeah. Open at 7 every day. Have a cup of coffee or your morning latte. Come on in and sit right down. It's the friendliest place in town. Central Avenue Bakery. MPG.
For an unforgettable omelet experience, visit the Central Avenue Bakery today. 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey, PG.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Possible breakthrough in stem cell research.
We can now generate these stem cells without destroying the embryo and thus without destroying its potential for life.
The Bush administration says it's sure Iran is serious.
The response, however, falls short of the conditions set by the Security Council.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition. I'm Bill Whitney. In the debate over stem cell research, the drive for advances in medicine has collided head-on with the objections of right-to-life advocates who oppose the destruction of human embryos. But today, researchers announced a development that could change the debate. CBS News correspondent Dan Revive joins us live.
Bill, at the company called Advanced Cell Technology, Dr. Robert Lanza published his research saying his team produced stem cells that could grow into transplant organs by taking just one cell, not harming, he says, the rest of the embryo.
That cell does not have the potential to create life in and of itself.
He wonders how could anyone be offended. A spokesman for President Bush expressed interest, but the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops says this method is unethical. One cell from an embryo, that's human life. And Glenn McGee, who edits the American Journal of Bioethics, says...
This is more politics than science.
Reporting live, Dan Revive, CBS News.
Now this.
Hi, is Michael there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And how is it?
Great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It's so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-loved. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
London one day, Cairo the next. It's not for the faint-hearted, but at 55, reporting is what I do and what I love.
Centrum Silver takes your passions to heart because Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted with high levels of B vitamins, nutrients which may help support heart health.
If your heart's in it, so is the rest of you.
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age and your life. Take with low saturated fat, low cholesterol diet, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
On the day after Iran delivered its response to the West's nuclear proposal, the Bush administration is talking about next steps in the UN Security Council.
What the U.S. and other members of the UN Security Council wanted was a commitment from Iran to cease enrichment of uranium and forswear the production of nuclear weapons. All Iran offered is negotiations, which White House spokeswoman Dana Perino makes clear is not good enough.
The response, however, falls short of the conditions set by the Security Council, which require the full and verifiable suspension of all enrichment-related and reprocessing activities.
The U.S. will again raise the issue of U.N. sanctions against Iran at an August 31st meeting. Mark Knoller, CBS News, the White House.
August 31st is the deadline set by the Security Council for Iran to comply. A congressional report out today says U.S. intelligence isn't capable of assessing Iran's nuclear capabilities and intentions. The report calls for more intelligence resources dedicated to Iran. The administration says it's already taking steps in that direction. Kidnapped in Gaza more than a week ago, Fox News correspondent Steve Sentani and cameraman Olaf Wieg appeared on video today. This is Sentani.
Just want to let you know I'm here and alive and give my love to my family and friends and ask you to do anything you can to try to help us get out of here.
Sentani said he and Wieg are being treated well. Their captors demand the release of Muslim prisoners in U.S. jails within 72 hours. President Bush met today with Rocky Vaccarello, who lost his Louisiana home to Hurricane Katrina and came to Washington in a replica of the FEMA trailer his family's still living in.
I understand that there's people down there that still need help, and I told him the federal government will work with the state and local authorities to get the help to them as quickly as possible.
That's right.
Today, congressional Democrats issued a report on what they call the administration's failed response to the disaster, but Rocky Vaccarello left the White House a happy man.
You know, it's a crazy country, isn't it?
It is. You know, it's really amazing when a small man like me from St. Bernard Parish can meet the President of the United States.
It's not the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge. This part of Alaska is known as the National Petroleum Reserve, and the Bush administration says it will open 8 million acres for oil and natural gas exploration, despite the objections of environmentalists like Jim Presswood of the Natural Resources Defense Council.
It disturbs wildlife. You have water pollution issues. You know, oil extraction is definitely an intensive industry.
The Bureau of Land Management says the energy is needed and promises steps to limit the impact on wildlife. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paint starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Hello?
Hey, is Mark there?
Yes, it is.
Mark, I'm Paul.
Yeah.
I own your old new Passat.
Oh, yeah. The
Yes. Yeah. Oh, boy, it's great talking to you. Listen, if you ever want to just swing by and just, you know, sit in the Passat, you give me a call anytime. We'll make that happen.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring a 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
Welcome to this hour of the Peter B. Collins Show. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Oh, we got a lot to talk about. Coming up after the bottom of the hour, Larissa Alexandrovna, managing editor of RawStory.com, makes her weekly appearance. She's been focused on the U.S. and Iran lately, and much of her reporting has been eerily corroborated. We'll talk about that with Larissa coming up in about 30 minutes. But first, we're going to talk to the man who's trying to knock off Richard Pombo, the Republican who serves currently in the 11th District of California.
Here we come, starting another war. We got our heads up our asses. You know, we're really bored. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We love natural disasters. Did somebody really drown? We lie whenever we want to. Yeah, you know it's true. And if you don't believe us, turn on the nightly news. Hey, hey, we're the Republicans. And people say we act like clowns. We just steal elections. Run the country into the ground.
Joining us on the Peter B. Collins Show is Democrat Jerry McNerney, candidate for Congress in District 11 here in California, currently occupied by the guy with the cowboy boots and hat, Richard Pombo. Jerry, welcome to the program again today.
Hello,
Peter, it's good to be on again. It's a great day here, and we've got a lot to talk about.
Oh, we sure do. First up, I want to pass along my personal congratulations to you for your victory in the primary, because the Democratic leadership supported your opponent, Mr. Filson, and you really connected with the voters, and they not only sent a message that Pombo's got to go, but also that at least the Democrats in District 11 are independent thinkers who really don't take marching orders from Rahm Emanuel or Nancy Pelosi.
Well, that's right. We stuck to the voters. We talked to the people. We built our network. And we talked about issues that matter to the people of the district. And we never forgot that. And the people remembered our message and went to the polls and gave us a resounding thank you.
Well, and I was just delighted to see that. Not that I, you know, have a big beef with Nancy Pelosi. I have some beef with Rahm Emanuel. But we've seen this pattern with Paul Hackett in Ohio and other progressive challengers who haven't gotten the support of the Democratic leadership. And I'm really sorry to see that, because I like to see a vibrant and robust debate, particularly in the primaries, because with gerrymandering, particularly in California, there isn't that much real challenge in most of the November election options.
Well, it's important to keep connected to the people on the ground, and I think that was part of their mistake, and what we want to do is make sure that we don't lose that connection.
Yeah.
And so we're out there every week, we're talking to people, we're listening to them, we're making calls, and we're reaching out, and not only to the people, but to the labor unions and to other organizations, to civic groups, to leaders, and they come back and they tell us what's going on in the district, and that helps us formulate our ideas.
Yeah. Well, you got there are two interesting endorsements that are currently featured on the homepage at jerrymcnerney.org, and we'll spell your last name in a few minutes to help people who might find that a little challenging. But General Wes Clark has endorsed you.
Yes, he has, and I really appreciate that endorsement. It shows that we not only have a domestic plan, but that we have a clear vision of what our national security needs are. And I think that's an important process. The Democrats are now really formulating their ideas, and it shows that we are thinking about our national security and how to keep our nation safe and move into the 21st century with prosperity and security.
The other endorsement that you feature is from my friend Pete McCloskey. And as you and many of our listeners know, I made a personal choice to try to help Mr. McCloskey in his Republican primary challenge to Pombo, because I've known Pete for over 25 years. He was the first candidate who caused me to register as a Republican many years ago when he ran for the United States Senate. I think it was 1980 or 82. And he gave Pombo a run. Got 36-37% of the vote, which is respectable, but not enough to knock off an incumbent. And we have seen that incumbents have incredible advantages. Ned Lamont pulled the real upset over Lieberman, but that doesn't happen very often. So I really, welcomed Pete's entry into that race. He came out of retirement just because he was so angry at the misdeeds of the Republicans in general and the sins of Mr. Pombo in particular.
Well, you know, I don't agree with Pete on every single issue, that's for sure, but Pete is a true patriot. He served our country as a young man in the Marine Corps. He served in the Congress. He stood up to Richard Nixon on the Vietnam War. And he came out of retirement at the age of 78 to run for the U.S. Congress. And it made the race very dynamic. And it brought a lot of interest and a lot of enthusiasm. And I think it's been a great service to our country and to our district. And we certainly appreciate what he's done, and we're thrilled and honored that he has decided to endorse my campaign.
Now, Jerry, from my exposure to the McCloskey campaign, I know more about District 11 than I ever thought I would. And you've got a tough a challenge ahead. And what McCloskey ran into is that Pombo's voters in the Valley, and this district is about evenly split between the San Joaquin County areas and a rather unusual gerrymandered strip that runs from Morgan Hill in San Santa Clara County, winding up along the foothills there through Livermore into eastern Alameda and Contra Costa counties. And so it's really two very distinct geographical pockets of voters, and probably four times as many different kind of voter subsets, would you say?
Oh, yes. Well, it is an interesting district, Peter, but people are people, and they all have the same concerns. In the Valley, we have a lot of concern about the air quality and the water quality, and, of course, education, a very, very big concern, not only in the Valley but around the whole district. And the economy, we want to create good jobs, and everyone's concerned about health care, even the most conservative businesses. It's affecting their businesses, and what has the current administration and Congress done for that? They put out this prescription drug plan that basically serves the prescription drug companies and industry. So we need to move forward with programs that matter to the people. And, boy, that's what we're proposing, and that's what's resonating with the people in the district.
And let me ask you this, because from my perspective as a progressive, my greatest anger at Pombo is over environmental issues. Yet the population in the San Joaquin County area doesn't seem to, you know, really engage a whole lot on that. McCloskey was so frustrated with Republican voters in the Valley area, particularly regarding Pombo's sorry record on environmental issues. Drilling in Anwar, wants to drill off the coast, wants to upend the Endangered Species Act that McCloskey co-sponsored, co-wrote when he was in the House many years ago. So how do you approach those voters? You certainly don't have to sell me on Pombo's failings, but it is kind of a touchy issue. He's got a fairly strong grip on that district.
Well, everyone cares about the air and the water. There's a huge epidemic of asthma, young children in our district. That's an issue that speaks to every single person. And concerning the Endangered Species Act, he's been railing about the Endangered Species Act. A lot of people that work the land and own land, developers, think that he's on their side, but he's so radical that he hasn't been able to make any change on that Species Act at all. And if you want to make change, you're going to have to work with both sides. You're going to have to work with people that care about species, and he's not willing to do that. So because of that, he hasn't been able to get anything done, and so they may think he's working for them, but he's not. He's working for himself. He's working for ideological purposes, and because of that, he's done very little for our district.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you can successfully make this a referendum on Bush?
Well, certainly there's a lot of dissatisfaction about Bush, about the war, about the financial irresponsibility, about our national security, that actually, even though they're trying to divide our country and make people vote on fear, they're realizing that that policy doesn't really get us much. It gets us into more and more trouble. So we can use these issues, but I think there's a lot to talk about with regard to Richard Pombo. He's corrupt. He's one of the 13 most corrupt members of Congress, according to the crew report. And three of those people are gone now because they've been put out of the Congress for corruption charges. So I think he's on notice, and the people in the district are taking notice. He's done very little for them, and the corruption issues are starting to stick. So we have a lot to talk about.
Yeah. Jerry, does your family own any wind farms in the Altamont Pass?
No, we don't own any wind farms.
Do you own any property adjacent to proposed freeways in the district?
No, I don't. But there's someone here that does, someone that we're talking about that does. Richard Pombo's family does own property that has wind turbines on them, and there's
And he has unethically intervened with federal agencies on behalf of wind farmers, including his parents, who own a substantial interest in wind farms there.
Right. Well, his family owns the property. There's wind turbines operating, and the Department of Fish and Wildlife has made a ruling to curtail operation only during certain parts of the year where birds are getting killed, and he stepped in and intervened and caused those rules to be superseded so that his family could operate those properties and get extra revenue.
Yeah, and if he hadn't interfered, he could claim just how green he is because, you know, he's in the wind farming business.
That's
Jerry,
right.
We got to take a break and we'll return in just a moment.
Sure.
Jerry McNerney is our guest. He spells his name McNerney. That's McNerney. And the website's named after him, jerrymcnerney.org. I invite you to stop by, take a look, and if you're so inclined, make a financial contribution to help him take on incumbent Richard Pombo this November. If you've got a question or comment, we'd like to hear from you now. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. We'll continue in a moment on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
ZNS Auto Sales in Monterey, family-owned for 30 years, is where partnership works. Whether you're a first-time buyer and need a safe economy car, or looking for a truck or SUV or a classic, they have it all. Call ZNS before you make that final decision. ZNS open every day at 1179 Del Monte Boulevard between the Navy Postgraduate School and Lake El Estero. High-quality used cars at the very best prices. ZNS Auto Sales, where partnership works.
Children's books, educational toys, and games your entire family will enjoy are always in season at locally owned and operated Thinker Toys. Hi, this is Nurse Rona of Childhood Matters. We know that our children learn by playing, and the caring staff at Thinker Toys will help you choose the ideal gift for toddlers through teens. Stop by our beautiful Carmel store at 7th and San Carlos and the just renovated Thinker Toys at Del Monte Center in Monterey. Thinker Toys is open daily.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay. San Juan Bautista, southbound 101, just before Highway 129. There is an accident pushed off to the right shoulder now. It's a dump truck and a car involved in. Everyone is slowing just to take a look. In Marina, northbound Highway 1 before 12th Street, it's a debris issue. Rolled up carpet is blocking the left-hand lane, and folks are swerving to avoid it. And that, of course, causes some slow traffic as well. Soquel Drive at Porter Street, a stalled car. car is blocking in the middle of that intersection. And for those making the drive out of the Silicon Valley, southbound Bayshore Freeway, already heavy from Highway 85, headed towards Coyote Creek Golf Course. This look at traffic brought to you by Shell Million Gallon Giveaway. Shell's giving away free gas for life to 6 lucky winners and tons of other prizes. The Million Gallon Giveaway, only at Shell, made to move. See official rules at participating Shell stations. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. It's 22 minutes past the hour. Did you hear my email is working again? I apologize if you sent me a note and it bounced, but we cleared out the cobwebs from the website today, and it's now possible to send me a note. Peter at peterbcollins.com, humble host at peterbcollins.com. Or if you're not enjoying my work, how about loudmouth or big mouth, one of those, at peterbcollins.com. They all work. And while we're talking about websites, jerrymcnerney.org has a cool little animated boot. I like that, Jerry. It says, give Pombo the boot.
Well, we have to worry about those things, and we're doing a great job, and we're reaching out and asking people out there to help us to defeat Richard Pombo. They can make a big difference in changing the direction of our country and putting us on a path that makes a lot more sense. So it's something that everybody can get involved in.
Well, and one thing that we can infer and deduce is that Jerry McNerney will be his own man, that you're not a functionary of party leaders, and that you will really independently represent the people of those districts, a far cry from what Pombo has been doing, which has been to serve the interests of the industrial political action committees that dump more than half of the money into his campaigns.
Well, that's for sure, Rom. I mean, Peter, a little slip there. I will stand up for the people of our district, and it's my absolute focus in life here is to make this a better country and a better world, to create a new industry of new energy technology in our district, and bring prosperity and make this country something we're proud to pass on to the next generation of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of Rom, I do want to say that Rom helped me out in a very concrete way since the primary, and so did Nancy Pelosi, so they are definitely behind this race. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate their help, and together we're going to take this Congress back. We're going to put our country back on the right track.
Well, I'm glad they're supporting you because we talked to Tony Trupiano, who is running in, I think, the 11th District of Michigan last week. And he's a fine guy. I've known Tony for a while, a former radio talk show host. I hope they don't hold that against him. And he is polling ahead of Thaddeus McCotter, who is the Republican incumbent. And Rahm Emanuel has not sent him a dime. So it's tough for some of the challengers out there this year, and I'm glad you're getting some traction. Jerry, let's talk about one of the issues that is top of mind for many of the listeners of this program, and that is the integrity of our voting process. And I can't tell you how many people are concerned about electronic voting machines, about what happened in District 50, the Bill Bray Busby race, where the voting machines were out of custody, called sleepovers, some cases up to a week, and that violated the protocols established by the Secretary of State for the use, the certification of those machines. And there are other problems as well, but voter integrity, that's a very fundamental issue. How are you addressing that?
Well, we're working closely with the central committees in our counties, and they are working with the registrars of voters in their respective counties. We're also working with groups to make sure that we have attorneys on hand that are ready to go on election night and the night before the election. We'll be ready, Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And we take this very seriously.
In the primary, San Joaquin County had a number of precincts where the poll workers couldn't boot up the electronic machines, and it delayed voting for up to 3 hours in some cases. Do you think those problems have been addressed?
I'm sure they have, and we will definitely put people on the ground to make sure that we avoid those problems, and when those kind of problems do come up, as they might,
mm-hmm.
we'll make sure that there's alternatives, paper alternatives for people to use.
Now, Jerry, you and I have talked before. I know that you are firmly opposed to the war in Iraq and the way the president has managed the occupation. We're very concerned because of recent broadcasts here and informed people we've talked to about the prospect of a military action against Iran as early as this November. Number one, what's your sense of this? Do you think it's a likely prospect? And number two, do you think the administration has any authorization to conduct a military action of that sort?
Well, they don't have authorization, Peter, and we have to make that as clear as we can. I certainly hope that there's not a likelihood that that's going to happen, but with the way things are going, I don't think we can take any of those things for granted. And we should be working very closely with the international community to make sure that Iran doesn't feel empowered to move forward with developing nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
But the diplomatic arena is the most effective place to work on this issue. Using military intervention would absolutely be a disaster, in my opinion.
Do you think Iran poses an imminent threat to America's security?
No, I don't. Not imminent. They definitely pose a long-term threat, and we have time. And the best use we have is military, is using our diplomatic means. And we have plenty of clout in the world diplomatically.
Mm-hmm.
Let's use that. Military is certainly our last resort. It should be the last possible thing that's chosen.
Jerry McNerney, if you succeed in retiring Richard Pombo, do you have any committees you'd like to serve on? I got about 20 seconds.
I sure do. Boy, I'd love to be on the Energy and Commerce Committee,
mm-hmm.
the Education Committee, and Military Intelligence. Very important committees for me.
Excellent. Jerry, best wishes to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Peter.
Visit the website, jerrymcnerney.org, McNerney. Coming up next, Larissa Alexandrovna returns to the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Patty Ross, Realtor. What pops into your mind when you hear the word real estate? Security? Investment? White picket fences? Did you know that real estate is the single most sought-after asset on the planet? More people have accumulated wealth through real estate than by any other means. So whether you own property and want to cash in your equity, or simply want to take advantage of buying in this changing market, you need a qualified agent who understands market conditions and will listen to your needs. From Santa Cruz to Salinas, from Carmel to Big Sur, call me, Patty Ross, for a free consultation. I'm hardworking, experienced, and I care about you. Hey, forget the rest, get the best. Call me, Patty Ross. My heart's in it.
Contact Patty Ross at Keller Williams Realty in Carmel at 622-6235. That's 622-6235, or visit her website, pattyrosscarmel.com.
Hey, good looking. What you got cooking? How's about cooking something up with me?
I'll tell you what I got cooking. Dinner's ready. I went to dinnersready.com, chose 8 gourmet dinners, made an appointment, and went to their storefront in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove and prepared the meals there myself. Now I'm cooking them in my own home.
What's that you say? Dinner's ready?
That's right. Dinner's ready. It's the newest concept in home cooking. They do all the shopping and chopping, and I get all the credit. If you're too busy to go in and make your dinners, they'll even do it for you. So sign up at dinnersready.com, stop by and see them in the Country Club Gate Center in Pacific Grove, or give them a call at 645-9100. That's 645-9100. Dinner's ready!
Parents, do you need cash for college? This year, more than $100 billion is available for financial aid. Let AboutCollegeFunding.com help you navigate the complicated process to accessing your share of these funds. AboutCollegeFunding.com is now offering free one-hour consultations for parents in need of answers. To schedule your free one-hour consultation with RJ Moyet, call 1-888-337-9775. That's 1-888-337-9775.
Remember, the early bird gets the cash.
Childhood Matters.
the show for parents and everyone who cares about our kids.
How do you know when there's something wrong with your child's development? I'm Nurse Rona. Join us for a rebroadcast this Sunday to discuss some of the early signs of language, movement, and learning difficulties in young children. Our guests will provide tips and resources for early intervention.
Childhood Matters, this Sunday morning at 9 on KRXA 540. Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside. We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're invited to join this conversation whenever the mood strikes you. 888-5 Peter B is our toll-free number. The minstrel of the Santa Cruz Mountains, Neil Young. All right, we will. As long as we have a free world to talk about. Larissa Alexandrovna joins us. She's managing editor at rawstory.com. And Larissa, always nice to talk with you. How are you doing today?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Tell me how you handle compliments.
I don't. I'm
really?
Terrible.
All right. Well, then, I'm going to put you back on hold for a minute because I want to say some really nice things about you, and I just don't want you to be embarrassed.
Okay.
No, I won't put you on hold. Listen, I just have to tell you how much I appreciate the work that you've been doing and how many other sources corroborate the key points that you have been making since March of this year. And I want to single out James Bamford, who has really established himself as an authority on the National Security Agency. And he was on our program for an hour the other day, and he helped us connect the dots involving Michael Ledeen, Ghorbanifar, the MEK, and the indictment, actually the guilty plea, of former Office of Special Plans Pentagon employee Larry Franklin for delivering top secret material to representatives of AIPAC, the American-Israeli, I always want to call them Political Action Committee, but it's Public Affairs Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to tell you that everywhere I go, I find threads of your work. And I haven't found anything that has, showed up as less substantiated or challenged by other key sources.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, good work.
I thought you were going to say Bamford went on about me for an hour.
No, it wasn't about you, but it was about the work you've done. And in particular, I mean, you brought up Michael Ledeen and his trips to Italy, his connection to the phony Niger story, and, his possible connection to some of these activities of Ghorbanifar and this rogue element from Iraq that we have re-uniformed and shipped into Iran, the MEK.
Right, right. Hey, did you guys talk about the MEK as well?
We did.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's good, because it's bizarre. It's not really largely talked about, so I'm glad you did.
Yeah. So,
wow, okay, I'm going to have to go and download that show.
Okay, and also I would recommend that you read his article, which was published it's like July 24th issue of Rolling Stone.
Oh, no, I did read that.
Yeah.
I did read that.
Yeah.
I read that in one sitting and emailed him and said it was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's a good summary of, not just me, really. I would say Laura Rosen and Cy Hirsch, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Hirsch and our friend, the freelancer, Sam Gardner.
And Sam Gardner, yes, of course.
Sam
writes now?
No. He's just contributed elements through our conversations and some of the emails that he sends out. So we have a whole list of the co-conspirators when Bush cracks down.
All right. That will not be likely, I don't think. But.
Now, Larissa, can you give me any hints? If I really want to get some, uranium to put into my centrifuge so that I can generate some, enriched uranium for my next nuclear weapon, what African nation would I want to go to try to make a shady deal like that?
Well, you wouldn't go to the Congo, that's for sure.
Yeah.
You'd probably go to Niger.
Oh, no.
Well, you'd have to go through the French. They own all the mines.
Uh-huh.
So that would be a good place to start. But most, are you going somewhere with this?
No, I'm leading up to the article that you posted at Raw Story Friday, August 18th, regarding what is deja vu all frickin' over again.
Oh, my God. I thought you said another word entirely.
No, I said frickin'. It's safe.
Okay, go ahead.
So the claim is from Dick Cheney, a very reliable source when it comes to matters of this type, that Iran has tried to access uranium from the Congo via Tanzania.
No. I want to clarify. It's not Dick Cheney who's making that claim.
Right. Who says it?
It's actually a report that ran in the Sunday London Times, but part of this article is about the, if you remember, the Iranian directorate now that exists in the Defense Department, which mm-hmm. replaced the Office of Special Plans, essentially in name only at the same people, and if you consider all the same players, then you could possibly theorize, but I have no proof of this, that, Cheney is planting, through his proxies, is planning these stories.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but
I overstated that.
Yes, I considerably, only because I myself never stated that in the piece, and I just want to be very clear that I've never alleged that.
Yeah, I jumped through the headline, which reads, "Intelligence officials doubt Iran uranium claims, say Cheney has received suspect briefings."
Right. Now, he's getting, and here's the thing, when he used to get his briefings from FICE and, Office of Special Plans, my own personal feeling on that wasn't so much briefings as it was directives that he was providing, because I think he knows what he wanted to see, and so I think a similar thing is going on here. So it's quite possible, as I said, I have no proof of this, but that he could very well be guiding this disinformation of, the new allegations that Iran attempted to purchase uranium from the Congo.
I mean, can't we be a little more original?
If we could, then we wouldn't be doing the same exact stupid thing over and over.
Jeez. I mean, this is insulting.
Well, apparently not, because the Sunday London Times ran it. And, I happen to respect them, so I was a bit shocked, because I thought, okay, this must, ring true. I mean, I know the editorial staff there.
But let's remember who owns that paper.
Right, but
it's the upmarket paper of Rupert Murdoch.
Sure, but they've done a fantastic job in general. So
mm-hmm.
this was a bit of a shock. So luckily, it wasn't anyone I was friends with who bylined, so I felt much more comfortable about the whole thing. The allegation is that Iran had purchased uranium from the Congo, and that Tanzanian officials had intercepted the containers. Now, they base part of their report on a UN, United Nations Security Council report, which talks about an unnamed country purchasing uranium from the Congo. And mind you, we're talking very small quantities of very...
Low grade.
Very low grade, right, exactly. So,
like
but
three,
they
like
never
three...
mention Iran in the United Nations document. And according to the Sunday London Times, they used a single anonymous Tanzanian official who said it was Iran. Well, I mean, you know, it took me 2 weeks of, you know, 24/7, but I went around trying to find somebody, anybody who could verify this, and it was... I couldn't believe how astonishingly laughable it was once it was explained to me that, no, this was not likely, nor the transaction that went on that was talked about in the UN report is of note for a whole other reason, and it's not this big, you know, uranium trafficking, building a bomb deal. So in any case, basically it's a bogus story, but why would these allegations be tied to Iran? And so you bring up Sam Gardner. If we go back to him, he believes, and I think he said quite often, that that there, you know, this administration is going to try to make a case for you know, this overblown Iranian nuclear weapons program. And so to that effect, when we see these the same players involved making the same trips abroad, and these types of stories circulating, you know, it would stand to reason. You know, the obvious question is, are we once again instigating some of this disinformation? In fact, one UN official said to me that there was no doubt in their mind that we, the Americans, were planting this stuff. Others thought it was the British, but nobody took it seriously, and everyone was appalled that it ever ran.
Just to clarify, we're planting the story or planting the uranium?
No, the story.
Uh-huh, okay.
The story, yeah. No, the major concern in the Congo, and I did a crash course now in 2 weeks of the Congo, and the major concern, however, is that there's an environmental crisis there with regard to, you know, very old depleted uranium from the Manhattan Project.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we had gotten our uranium from. And that's the major concern of that region, as well as gun running. But uranium is definitely not the big concern in that region. So it's very bizarre. And, yes, the concern is that at least one official said to me they were concerned that absolutely convinced, actually, that we, the Americans, had planted this story, this connection. I honestly don't know. But, again, if you look at it's the same players, logically you could suspect that's probably what happened, but, you know, hard to say.
And they failed to update the playbook.
Yes. Well, and on top of that, I wrote to the Sunday London Times and asked them to retract it.
And their reaction?
Well, the thing is, in order for them to retract it, you know, I would have to provide how I know what I know, and they would have to provide how they know what they know. Obviously, we're all using, highly sensitive sourcing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, in my opinion, I had experts who went on the record from, you know, like, for example, the Federation of American Scientists.
Mm-hmm.
I'm certain that if they could they could easily call up, you know, ring up anybody in the IAEA or any agency that monitors atomic energy or any expert at any university and get this story debunked within 5 minutes. So I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But I thought it was irresponsible.
Mm-hmm.
And especially because I respect them. So we'll see what happens. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, and of course, the American media, I haven't seen very significant reporting on this issue at all. Have you?
I did when it first came out.
Yeah.
I did see it everywhere. And I actually try to get some information on Congress, whether they were getting briefings on this type of thing. And it appears that they were getting briefings, that there was this transaction. And so, no, it's maybe not as overtly everywhere as one might think, but it is absolutely now, you know, sort of creeping into intelligence estimates and summaries and briefings. It's part of the legend.
Yeah, and you know, like so many other important stories, it's been drowned out by the real important news about the alleged confessed killer of JonBenet Ramsey, you know.
We have to
live with that crap.
I don't understand that whole thing anyway. So.
Yeah, they all owe us a big apology, and we'll never get it. Larissa, we're going to take a break and continue. If you'd like to talk with Larissa Alexandrovna, she's with us till the top of the hour. Lines available, 888-5-PETER-B, toll-free, 888-573-8372. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And I'm Peter B. Collins. KRXA 540, progressive talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Tom Hartman.
The Bushies just don't get it. They think that the only way that you can get somebody to think the way that they think, or the way that we think, the only way you can get someone to like America is to kill somebody. I mean, that's George Bush's strategy. If things aren't going well, kill somebody. Yeah. And if you can't kill them, then build a fence.
It's the Tom Hartman program.
I'm sorry, the world isn't that way. And in fact, you want to see where the Republicans want to take us? Just look at where we were in 1890. Look at where, you know, look at Victorian England.
Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings, 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Would you like to be part of a conversation that might not only inspire your golf game, but have you thinking differently about sports, about learning, and about performance? Join golf pro and best-selling author Fred Shoemaker on KRXA 540 Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. for Extraordinary Golf, some uncommon conversations about golf, and maybe even a little beyond golf. Extraordinary Golf, Saturday mornings on KRXA 540 at 8 a.m.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay. Still dealing with a crash in San Juan Bautista, southbound 101, just before Highway 129. Final clearing on this crash. In Soquel, Soquel San Jose Road at Soquel Drive, a disabled vehicle. This stall pickup is blocking lanes of traffic. Meanwhile, in Salinas, Spence Road, east of Highway 101, an injury crash here. Two vehicles collided head-on, so that'll take a little while to clear. And in Aptos, southbound Highway 1, on the State Park Drive off-ramp, a person in a wheelchair without a car is driving on lanes of the ramp, so be extra careful. This look at traffic is brought to you by FlexYourPower.org. Efficiency to save money, energy, and the environment. Buy energy-efficient light bulbs and install Energy Star qualified cooling systems. For rebate details, visit FlexYourPower.org, and thanks for flexing your power. I'm Alex Daly, and that's traffic on KRXA 540.
We continue now on the Peter B. Collins Show. It's 10 minutes away from the hour.
As I was walking, ribbon up highway, I saw above me, an endless skyway. I saw below me, a golden valley. Yeah, this land was made.
That's Everclear with a rockin' version of This Land Is Your Land. We continue with Larissa Alexandrovna, the managing editor at RawStory.com. We're talking about Iran and a claim that appears to be totally phony, that Iran has attempted to get yellowcake uranium or some sort of uranium from the African nation of Congo. And gosh, do we have to wait till the next State of the Union message to find out more from Bush?
No, I think I've safely debunked that now. Well, and the reality is that because it's so low grade, the fact that this Tanzanian official claims that they managed to find it because it set off all of these
radiation detectors. Yeah. Well, Larissa, that would be fine if we had rational thinkers running our government.
Right.
Let's go to Dave. He's on the line from Humboldt. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Peter. Melissa, I tried...
Wait. It's Larissa.
Larissa.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's okay. I just want you to get it right.
Well, that would be my first mistake.
But... What did he say?
He said it would be his first mistake.
Larissa, I try to connect the dots so that I get the big picture of what's going on. And for me, it goes back a dozen years to the earliest days in PNAC, where this group of psychopaths came up with the idea they wanted to control virtually all of the oil assets in the Middle East. And so what we get in leaks of bits and pieces to justify step one, two, or three, it all has to do with their axis of evil, global domination, their new world order. It is a plan. It's not blundering. It is a willful, let's shift all the wealth of the Middle East and the United States in the billions and the trillions into the pockets of the Halliburton, Bechtel, Texaco. You know, it's profitable to them, and so they're acting on purpose and just giving us bits and pieces to make us think maybe they got a legitimate reason.
Now, Larissa, let's make Dave's day and tell him about Abram Shulsky.
Oh, well, Abram Shulsky is a PNAC member, obviously. Anybody in the Defense Department leadership would be. He was the director of the Office of Special Plans, and he is now heading up the Iranian Directorate, which is essentially the Office of Special Plans.
Part two.
Right, and he's... Well, again, you've got the PNAC players. I don't think it's as simple as, I mean, I agree with you that there is this sort of this policy that's been in existence for some time. I don't necessarily agree that it's as cohesive as you describe and as focused necessarily. I think there's different factions that on certain things come together, you know, where you have the corporate interests in the energy market come together with the ideologues. And they want a particular thing done. But
there is no doubt that there's a lot of profiteering going on, and it's not just the Bush family and their cronies. We did a segment yesterday about Dianne Feinstein, the senator from California, and her husband, Richard Blum. And Blum is a big investor in URS Corporation, which owns a portion of the Perini Construction Company that has contracts in Iraq, and that did a transaction with the Carlyle Group last year.
Right. I mean, as I said, there are factions, and everyone, you know, when you have this sort of disregard for law, when you have cronies appointed everywhere who aren't doing their jobs in terms of oversight, then you're going to get this much lawlessness and this much war profiteering. You know, when you have the vice president who used to head Halliburton,
well, and he still
sure Halliburton gets contracts.
And he still gets checks. He still gets checks every year from Halliburton.
Sure. But I don't think it's as all-encompassing and all, you know, this cohesive, you know, small band of people.
Understood. Yeah, I understand that. Dave, a follow-up?
Well, I think it's one big, massive grab, and that's, you know, it is grab as much as possible for the greedy, wealthiest of people, and who we harm in the process is irrelevant. That's the way I read it.
All right,
yeah,
Dave.
No, I agree completely. I think that's exactly what's going on.
There he goes. Go ahead.
No, that's exactly what's going on. You have, as I said, when you have an environment where they're literally, you know, any oversight is non-existent and the law is suspended essentially for criminal activity, then you're going to get everybody jumping on the bandwagon to take part. That's just the environment, and I think that the culture of corruption, you know, concept describes it incredibly well.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's exactly what it is. It's exactly why you have it permeate into other things. For example, into detainee abuse. You suspend the Geneva Convention, you suspend oversight, and you kind of just let everyone run around. And eventually, you're going to get people who do things in Haditha that.
Mm-hmm.
Perhaps they wouldn't have done if they were properly trained and in terms of what the law is and supervised and things of that nature. So,
well, and if we didn't believe that humiliation was a psychological weapon to be used, and in particular sexuality issues are used against Muslims in a way that, of course, offends them deeply, both religiously and culturally.
Sure, sure. I'm thinking specifically of Haditha, though. You know,
sure.
I don't think anybody in their right mind sanctioned what went on there. I think those guys went off and did their own thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the environment, because of the environment created, that's how you get those types of situations.
And I'd extend that to the Mahmoudia case as well, the rape and killing of that teenage girl.
Right, that's
No, that's actually Mahmoudia. Haditha was 24 people killed. I have a little chart here.
I'm sorry. I'm getting all of these scandals confused.
It's understandable. I keep this chart here to help me. The Haditha was November 19th, 2005. A roadside bomb killed a soldier, and then they went in and basically slaughtered 24 people, including 15 women and children. The rape was Mahmoudia, March 12th of 2006.
Okay, pardon me. I'm speaking specifically of the rape, but Haditha as well, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Understood. Now, Larissa, just a minute remaining. I wanted to turn to the piece that was published at Alternet on August 10th and direct people to it, because I see it as a recap of the work you've been doing over the past few months. And people can find it at alternet.org /story/400042. And we only have 30 seconds here. Tell me if there's anything that is new in terms of your concept about Lebanon being the trigger, a possible trigger, for a wider U.S. war with Iran.
Well, what's new is Cy Hirsch's article that pretty much, stunned me, I think everyone else, and basically said that the United States was essentially goading Israel and that they'd given them the green light and that it was going to be a demo run for any attack on Iran because, because the guerrillas are much the same in both countries.
Yeah. Well, thanks for joining us, Larissa. Again, congratulations on your fine work. Don't stop.
Thank you, I will.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. That's okay. Larissa Alexandrovna, rawstory.com. Coming up next, we head into the free speech zone, and I'm waiting for your call today. Grab a line at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-5.
We're going. Tom Hartman.
We have given our electoral process, the franchise by which democracy happens, the most vital part of the commons by which we administer the commons, we have privatized it. We have turned it over to private for-profit corporations.
It's the Tom Hartman Program.
And they have no damn business telling us how we voted.
The new Radio Free America, Tom Hartman. Weekday mornings 10 to noon on KRXA 540.
Concerned about the steady increase in home mortgage interest rates? Don't panic or overreact. Now is the time to analyze the many available options and to choose the best possible course. Leverage the equity in your home to reduce or eliminate high interest and non-deductible debt. Victor Munoz, president of Creative Mortgage, invites you for a free consultation in his Salinas offices at 201 John Street. To schedule your free Creative Mortgage consultation, call Victor at 757-0436 right now. That's 757-0436.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. The administration doesn't reject Iran's response to the West's nuclear proposal, but White House spokeswoman Dana Perino says it falls short of the conditions set by the UN Security Council, which demanded a halt to uranium enrichment.
We are closely consulting with the other members of the Security Council on the next steps.
Those steps could include economic sanctions, but only if all the council members with veto power, including Iran's trading partners Russia and China, go along. A congressional report issued today offers a grim assessment of the situation.
The House Intelligence Committee put out a 29-page report that describes Iran as a danger to America and U.S. allies. Iran's support of Islamist radicals and its nuclear program add up to, quote, a strategic threat. The committee staff also says, without details in the unclassified version, that there are significant gaps in what the U.S. knows about Iran, and intelligence agencies should direct more of their resources to that. Dan Revive, CBS News, Washington.
JonBenet Ramsey murder suspect John Carr remains jailed in Los Angeles awaiting extradition to Boulder. Two lawyers who represented him in the past have announced a news conference half an hour from now on what they say are significant developments in the case. Carr's relatives are offering to sell the book and film rights to their story, hoping to raise money for his legal fees and his three sons' educations. Researchers think they've made an end run around the debate over stem cell research. Robert Lanza of the biotech firm Advanced Cell Technology says they found a way to make stem cells without destroying human embryos.
No one, despite decades of attempts in a broad range of species, has ever shown that one cell from an 8-cell stage embryo, such as those that we use in our study, ever has had the capacity to create a complete organism.
That, he says, should satisfy right-to-life advocates. But while the White House expresses interest in the approach, U.S. Catholic bishops say it still involves the destruction of life, only at an earlier stage than the embryo. The Citadel has more problems with sexual assault and sexual harassment than West Point, Annapolis, or the Air Force Academy. CBS News correspondent Jim Krasula has details of today's report.
One in five female and one in 25 male cadets at the Citadel admitted in a confidential online survey that they had been sexually assaulted at the Charleston, South Carolina College.
It's not a good thing at all. It's not surprising. It's disappointing.
Citadel spokeswoman Patricia McCarver. The college, which first admitted women 10 years ago, is starting a comprehensive program to address everything from sexual assault to drinking. Jim Krasula, CBS News.
Stocks lost ground today. The Dow Industrial's down 41 points to 11,297. The Nasdaq down 15 points to close at 21.34. The price of oil fell below $72 a barrel. This is CBS News.
Honey, would you go to the ends of the earth for me?
Of course I would.
So then going to the Sherwin-Williams store wouldn't be a problem, right?
That was a setup. It's the summer color sale at your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Now you can save on classic 99 interior paints starting at just $23.99 a gallon. And save on other interior and exterior paints and stains, too. For painting and decorating,
ask Sherwin-Williams.
For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
Depot for hot deals on great tools to start school. Now at Office Depot, packs of Crayola markers or filler paper are just 25 cents each. And get an unbelievable deal on a TI-83 Plus graphing calculator while supplies last. And for all your qualified school supply purchases, Office Depot will give 5% back in credits to your child's school. So hurry in to Office Depot today. See store for details while supplies last. Quantities limited.
Canadian authorities insist there's no risk to humans in the latest mad cow discovery. Reporter Jamie Kaler has the story from Toronto.
The Canadian Food Inspection Agency has confirmed another case of mad cow disease, this time in Alberta. The agency says the latest case of BSE turned up in a beef cow. In a news release, the agency assures the public that no part of the animal's carcass entered the human or animal feed chains. The release says exposure to BSE likely occurred before or during the introduction of new feed regulations aimed at stopping the spread of the disease. An investigation is currently underway to locate the cow's birth farm, while extensive testing on the animal is set to be carried out. Jamie Kaler for CBS News, Toronto.
At a cow competition in Ireland, dairy farmers claim their cows have regional accents, much as humans do. A phonetics expert says it's plausible, but one skeptical farmer says he thinks it could be a lot of bull. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Hi, is Michael there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, my name is Neil.
Yeah.
And we've never actually met before, but I used to own your Volkswagen Jetta.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. I just miss it, you know? And, how is it?
It's great. It's a great car.
Isn't it? It is so great. Let me ask you something. Is it dirty? Because I could wash it.
Feel the pre-love. Certified pre-loved Volkswagens featuring the 112-point inspection. Come take a joyride today.
London one day, Cairo the next. It's not for the faint-hearted, but at 55, reporting is what I do and what I love.
Centrum Silver takes your passions to heart because Centrum Silver multivitamins are age-adjusted with high levels of B vitamins, nutrients which may help support heart health.
If your heart's in it, so is the rest of you.
Centrum Silver, adjusted for your age and your life. Take with low saturated fat, low cholesterol diet, not intended to treat, cure, or prevent disease.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show, and this is the fun part, the Free Speech Zone, where we open up the phone lines to hear from you on any subject, from any viewpoint, from anywhere within the sound of my voice. Simple rules, easy to follow.
I saw a face in the shower door, a cowboy smile.
My toll-free number is available for you right now, 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372, 888-5-PETER-B. That's John F. Napolitano and Concrete Blonde kicking off our Free Speech Zone today. Again, my number is 888-5-PETER-B. A couple of quick notes, and then I want to dive into the meaty subject I'd like you to comment on this hour. First of all, we fixed the email thing, and I apologize if you have emailed me in the last 2 weeks and everything bounced back. My friend Ed Porter in Santa Cruz reported this to me yesterday, and we got the webmaster, Nick Urban, over here today, and we emptied out all the boxes. Now, that means we deleted emails that came in the last 2 weeks without having the chance to look at them. So if you did get a bounce and you are still trying to reach me, just go ahead and send it in, and it should all work now. Peter at peterbcollins.com. Humble host at peterbcollins.com. Those are two easy email addresses you can use to reach me. Also, I'm going to take a rare day off this Friday, and my colleague, radio friend, and the author, Peter Laufer, will be sitting in for me. He most recently published two books, one called Wetback Nation, about our immigration policies, and the other called Mission Rejected, about those who have refused service in Iraq, members of our armed forces. And he'll be here on Friday. I hope you will treat him kindly. And also, just so you're warned, we'll be running best-of shows on the Friday before Labor Day and Labor Day itself. And that'll give you a chance maybe to catch up on some of the shows you haven't heard recently. So I'd like to play a clip. In fact, maybe I wouldn't like to do it, but I am going to. Of President Bush's news conference on Monday of this week. And because I've had visitors and I also have a TV that's on the blink, I haven't been able to sit down and watch the entire news conference. But the excerpts that I've seen show a president on the defensive, a president struggling to justify his actions, particularly in Iraq, and to frame them in a way that will be friendly to voters this November. Because he is clearly fearful that Iraq is going to be such a drag on Republican fortunes that he will lose control of one or possibly both houses of Congress after this November's balloting. That, of course, if Diebold doesn't enter to fix it all for him. So I want you to listen carefully to his comments here, and then I'll offer a few of my own. This is George W. Bush on Monday.
The terrorists attacked us and killed 3,000 of our citizens before we started the freedom agenda in the Middle East. What did Iraq have to do with what?
The attack upon the World Trade Center.
Nothing. Except for it's part of, and nobody's ever suggested in this administration that Saddam Hussein ordered the attack. Iraq was a, the lesson of September 11th is take threats before they fully materialize, Ken. Nobody's ever suggested that the attacks of September the 11th were ordered by Iraq.
Well, this points up a couple of key issues. Tomorrow on our program, Bob Furtick, who is a courageous man who runs the website Democrats.com and ImpeachPact.com, is going to join us on the program to make the case that what the president, what you heard him just say, is an admission that flies directly and contradictorily in the face of the representations he used to take us to war. And this is not a trivial matter of rhetoric in a political campaign or idle male promises from a politician pandering pandering to the American public. These are critical issues related to the basis on which we were led into this war in Iraq. March 19th, 2003, George W. Bush said that acting against Iraq was consistent with, quote, continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations, including those nations, organizations, or persons who planned, authorized, committed, or aided the terrorist attacks that occurred on September 11, 2001. That was the premise of the imminent threat posed by Iraq that caused Bush to launch this unilateral and deeply mistaken war in Iraq. And I want you to hear part of Bush's comment again with this in mind. The president admitted, in my view, a serious impeachable offense in this comment at the news conference on Monday. Listen carefully.
The terrorists attacked us and killed 3,000 of our citizens before we started the freedom agenda in the Middle East. What did Iraq have to do with what?
The attack upon the World Trade Center.
Nothing. Except for it's part of, and nobody's ever suggested in this administration that Saddam Hussein ordered the attack. Iraq was a, the lesson of September 11th is take threats before they fully materialize.
Hold it, W. What you said on March 19th, 2003, that invading Iraq was consistent with continuing to take the necessary actions against international terrorists and terrorist organizations. And here, in August of 2006, he flatly admits that that was not the case. Now, this is a lot more important than a sex act with an intern. To me, this is one of the most significant transgressions by an American president in my lifetime, and it amounts to treason. Now, we've heard the shrill voices from the right accuse the New York Times of treason for publishing non-sensitive, non-secret information that our government had freely acknowledged and bragged about, that we have been monitoring international financial transactions to try to look for patterns of terrorist financing and funding. And we heard those phony calls from Melanie Morgan, a really stupid radio talk show host in San Francisco, aired nationwide, and she followed up by calling for the death penalty in a treason trial for Bill Keller of the New York Times. I got my beefs with Bill Keller. He should have released that NSA story before the 2004 elections. But I consider that an error in judgment, not an act of treason. What Bush has done, in my view, amounts to an act of treason. Now, the other thing in the president's comment was about the freedom agenda that we launched after 9/11. I know this is a little bit degraded because it's off the internet, but I just want you to listen to this opening comment one more time.
The terrorists attacked us and killed 3,000 of our citizens before we started the freedom agenda in the Middle East.
Ah, the freedom agenda in the Middle East. Well, we know very well that the attack on Iraq, if you call that a freedom agenda, was in the plans well before 9/11/2001. And as to the freedom agenda, I'm very pleased that next week on our program, Professor George Lakoff from the University of California at Berkeley is scheduled to be on the show. His new book is called Whose Freedom? The Battle Over America's Most Important Idea. And if you have a chance, pick up the book. It's out in hardcover, and gosh, you could read it before he comes on the interview. But he points out in the book that the idea of freedom, as posed by George W. Bush, is just so phony. And the real freedom offered by progressives, liberals, that's a freedom not produced at the point of a gun, but produced after years of struggle and activism and advocacy and using a democratic process to achieve goals like that. That's freedom. That's the freedom I believe in. That's the freedom I want to fight for. Not the phony notion of freedom for corporate interests to raid the U.S. Treasury and bankrupt us while we pursue a bankrupt military and foreign policy in one of the most important regions of the world. That's my rant. You got one? I'd like to hear from you. Has the president admitted to an impeachable offense, to an act of treason? I think so. And do you buy into the freedom agenda? Bush's, not for me. Line's open for you, and I want to hear your thoughts. 888-5-PETER-B. You got that new toll-free number? 888-5-PETER-B. 888-573-8372. We'll go to your calls in a moment, right here on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
September 2nd, live in Monterey, it's Stephanie Miller.
If you look at Katrina, it goes more toward the theory that they're just disastrously incompetent. No. But then if you look at Iraq, you're like, they're disastrously incompetent and they lied.
One of the fastest rising stars in progressive talk radio, Stephanie Miller, is appearing live Saturday, September 2nd at Monterey's Casa Munras Hotel. Tickets are just $45. Go to MontereyCountyDemocrats.org or call 758-9503. That's 758-9503.
Hello, I'm here to tell you about Central Avenue Bakery in beautiful Pacific Grove. Every day we feature the finest and freshest healthy whole grain foods with vegan and wheat-free options for those so inclined. We mill our own organic, fresh whole grain flour daily. Galina, our Russian pastry chef, turns those fresh whole grains into delicious masterpieces. Muffins, cakes, cookies, pies, banana chocolate bars, macaroons. She adds new items all the time. We also have a variety of whole grain breads, fresh homemade sandwiches, soups, and veggie entrees made with mostly organic ingredients. Our all-you-can-eat Sunday buffet with the top vegetarian entrees, soups, salads, and desserts is locally famous. We also welcome groups, parties, and catering orders. Stop in for a latte, snack, or full meal. You'll come back again and again. Come visit us at 173 Central Avenue at the corner of Dewey in the old Granary building, just two blocks from the aquarium, or give us a call at 373-2000. That's 373-2000. Central Avenue Bakery, where healthy and delicious go hand in hand.
It's Behind the Wheel, the Consumer New Car Review. I'm Peter B. Collins. This week, I've been behind the wheel of the 2006 Volkswagen GTI, which VW dubs the new GTI. The GTI is a two-door hatchback that seats five, though it's not so easy for an adult to get in and out of the back seat. The 2-liter four-cylinder engine is turbocharged and fuel-injected, and with a 6-speed manual transmission, it delivers plenty of power and acceleration without too much torque. It's very responsive with a sports suspension that really holds the road. The base price of $22,000 includes an impressive array of features and accessories, including air conditioning, power steering, and a 6-CD changer that plays MP3s. But the final price creeps up near $30,000 with a navigation system and satellite radio added in. By the numbers, the 2006 VW new GTI gets 25 miles in the city, 31 on the highway, and stickers in California for about $28,000. Behind the wheel, I'm Peter B. Collins.
In response to rising interest rates, Victor Munoz of Creative Mortgage in Salinas offers the following advice to homeowners with variable rate loans. Don't panic or overreact. If you feel trapped in a frightening squeeze, first analyze your situation calmly, then take the best action available. There are so many types of loans, one is very likely to meet your particular needs. For a free consultation with Victor Munoz at Creative Mortgage, call 757-0436. Let Victor share with you the knowledge that he has built up over many years in the mortgage industry. Call Victor at 757-0436 today.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Aptos First, southbound Highway 1 on the State Park Drive off-ramp. An odd situation. A person in a wheelchair in the lanes of that ramp. They are okay, but please drive with caution in that area. Salinas, Spence Road, east of Highway 101. An injury accident. A head-on collision here, so injuries are involved. Also, slow traffic. Pretty typically, southbound 17. You'll find the brake lights from Lark Avenue to Highway 9 in Los Gatos. Let's up for a bit, then slow again from Lexington Reservoir. Reservoir to Big Moody Curve in the Santa Cruz Mountains. Also, the drive between Monterey and Carmel getting a bit heavier along Highway 1. This look at traffic brought to you by Toyota Avalon. The Toyota Avalon with an EPA estimated 31 miles per gallon on the highway and all the little extras you desire. Avalon, where luxury meets fuel efficiency. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
And the Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. I'm glad you're listening today, whether it's in your car, on your earbuds, or on those little speakers in the back of your computer. You can call me right now. It's the free speech zone, and I'd like to hear from you. 888-5-PETER-B. We played you the clip from President Bush, played it twice, so you could hear his direct admission that there was no connection between 9/11 and Iraq, as was falsely claimed in his official statements at the launch of our hostilities against that nation in March of 2003. I think this is a stunning revelation, and as we mentioned, we'll be talking about this further on the program tomorrow, but it's fascinating to me that so far I haven't seen mainstream corporate media pick up on this and offer the same kind of analysis. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. Lisa in Eureka, thanks for calling. You're on the air.
Oh, my God. If this isn't just so blatant.
It is blatant.
The man is just insane. You know? He obviously didn't have his mouthpiece with him to tell him not to talk like that.
You think he wasn't wearing that thing on his back?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, this is amazing to me.
Well, I wonder if at the White House they think that this was an effective performance by the president. You know, he went on much longer, over 40 minutes of give and take with reporters, and it was unscripted. He fell off his talking point wagon on a number of occasions, and I'm just wondering if Karl Rove thinks this is actually going to help Republicans get elected or reelected this fall.
I don't think so. I think they didn't have the right puppet master with the puppet.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many things that this man has done that have been blatantly impeachable offenses, violation of constitutional rights, and so many other things that if we don't do something come November, this country is going to hell in a handbasket. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Well,
it scares me. I
certainly agree, and we need to hear Democrats really stand up and attack the administration on this issue. And, of course, the problem is too many of them voted for the war and backed the president. I can still hear Hillary Clinton's voice ringing in my ears. This, of course, was from November of 2002. But she said, yes, I'm voting to authorize the president to go to war because I think this is the best way to avoid war. What a crock.
exactly. You know, and the biggest problem that I have with our two-party system is that one party is intimidated by the other.
Oh,
they need to get some hooked up.
Indeed. Yeah, cojones.
You got it.
Okay, Lisa.
Got it. Take care.
Thanks for your call. That's Lisa in Eureka. Interesting new poll out from the New York Times and CBS. I'll just read it to you. Do you approve the way the president's handling the campaign against terrorism? 55% yes, 38% no. No opinion, 8%. Which issue is most important for political leaders to concentrate on right now? Terrorism, 24%. War in Iraq, 22%. Economy, 20%. Healthcare, 18%. Gas prices, 9%. Conflict between Israel and Hezbollah is only 6%. Do you think of the war with Iraq as part of the war on terrorism or as separate from the war on terrorism? 32% say major part, and here's the kicker, 51% say it is separate. And with Bush's admission that we've just been talking about, I think that figure is likely to go up. Ben and Salinas, you're on the air.
Yes, Peter. We got to know this guy is a serial killer by proxy. But here's the thing. As many impeachable offenses as he's openly made, nobody's going to call him on it. Look at Alberto Gonzalez, his little lap dog. Now he's got the Supreme Court wired. But my anger today is I'm always angry at this Nazi in the White House. But the Catholic Church, they're stopping. They say the stem cell research, because you take out one cell, they haven't proved they haven't hurt the embryo. I haven't heard these Catholic, and I'm Catholic, sir, by birth anyway. Mm-hmm. I haven't heard these hypocrites say one thing about all the people dying in Iraq, Afghanistan, American troops dying for no damn good provable reason, the rape of a teenage girl and her little sister over there by American troops. They're so psychologically screwed up. Where's the Katrina suffering. Where's the Catholic Church on that? And yet every Sunday they put up the begging cups and the morons continue to feed this lunacy and this hypocrisy in this Jesus Church of Forgiveness. Give me a damn break.
Well, I am as disgusted as you are, Ben. I was raised a Catholic, and I have the same problems with the Catholic Church. I want to address one thing you raised about stem cell research.
Yes, sir.
Fascinating story surfaced today. A biotech company in Alameda near Oakland announced that they have found a way to extract stem cells without killing the embryo.
And the church immediately released a thing. They're not comfortable with it. Who in the hell asked those morons? If they don't practice the game of sex, why should they make the rules? The damn hypocrites?
And Ben, next time you encounter a priest or a bishop, you can ask them when the last time was they officiated over a blessing or final rites for an embryo. It's never happened.
You know what? They see
and,
me
and yet they want
and
to
they run.
They want to conflate it as a life form. Thanks for your call, Ben.
Yes, sir.
Really appreciate it. Joseph in Salinas, thanks for calling. You're on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hello.
Hi, Joseph. Go right ahead.
Yes, I'm a senior citizen. I'm an MD doc. I worked in general practice for 10 years, and then I was a pharmacologist before that. I was intimately related with the pharmaceutical industry. When I came to California some 6 years ago, I was immediately impressed by the multiplicity of opinions and ideologies and the free discussion. Of course, your program exemplifies that. I can go across the dial from left to right and partake of just about any form of discussion, mm-hmm. which I think exemplifies the best of American democracy.
And on the Central Coast, our program is heard all the way to the left at 5:40 a.m., and I'm quite comfortable there, Joseph.
Yes.
I only have about 40 seconds. I only have a few seconds before the break.
Latter years here, I'm able to examine history and social sciences a little bit more. I'm less busy. And I've needed to do that because you're bringing up the fact that the reasons that we have to go... And
Joseph, I got to take a break here, so hang on. I want to hear you out. I know you have a point to make, and I want to get to it. So that's coming up after a break. And I want to hear from you, too, a first-time caller in Eureka, a first-time caller from Carmel. Lines are open at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-5-PETER-B. We'll continue in the Free Speech Zone next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
Have you thought about owning more real estate but don't know where to turn? Are you interested in learning how to make good profit buying and selling real estate? Or do you want to learn how to let your tenants pay the mortgage while you enjoy the equity? If you want to learn the ins and outs of real estate investing, listen to The Real Estate Guys, Sunday nights at 5 on KRXA. You can own more real estate. The Real Estate Guys will show you how. Listen Sunday nights at 5 and on the web at realestateguysradio.com.
Hello, this is Al Moore with Moore Imported Cars in Monterey, where we feature quality pre-owned motor cars. It has been said that the world's best automobiles are manufactured within sight of the Alps. They include Mercedes-Benz, BMWs, and Porsches. These are the marks of dreams, and they're the manufacturers we specialize in. Some of our European autos start as low as $21,000 and experience very little depreciation. In fact, many of our Porsches actually increase in value, and our Porsches and other German autos have surprisingly good gas mileage too. Many of our autos are covered under manufacturer's warranty or are available with short or long-term service agreements. We also can arrange financing, and we do accept trades.
Drop by Moore Imported Cars, 999 Del Monte Avenue in Monterey, or browse to MooreImports.com. That's M-O-H-R Imports.com. Call Al Moore at 831-373-3131.
Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand Avenue is your one stop on the Monterey Peninsula for fine wines, liquors, and beers at very reasonable prices. Let PG Liquors knowledgeable owner J.R. Medina and his son-in-law Chad help you choose the ideal Monterey regional or imported wine for any occasion, from an intimate dinner with that special someone to a formal affair with dozens or even hundreds of guests. If you're looking for distilled spirits, PG Liquors specializes in the finest blue agave tequilas, single malt and blended scotches, and top-shelf vodkas, including Northern California's own Hangar One. Beer lovers from Carmel to Marina, beat a path to PG Liquors, which boasts hundreds of handcrafted ales, lagers, stouts, porters, as well as all the big names. Make Pacific Grove Liquors at 229 Grand, just above Lighthouse, the outlet for all of your beverage needs.
PG Liquors reminds you to always drink responsibly.
We at KRXA want to thank you for your support of our advertisers. Together, we're working as a community to help take America back. Keep thinking outside the box and call us with any ideas and comments anytime. Tell your friends about KRXA, and together, we'll help change the direction of this great nation. Working as a team, we're making a difference, and it's needed now more than ever. I'm Sheila Gale. Thank you for listening to Progressive Talk, AM 540, KRXA.
You've got the Peter B. Collins Show. Just the way I like it. We're in the free speech zone, and all my lines are open. I'm waiting for your call. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. From you about the issues we've been discussing, or bring on one of your own. 888-5-PETER-B is our number. That's 888-573-8372. Joseph in Salinas, your call dropped. We don't have you on hold, and I'll just reveal something here at the Peter B. Collins Show. We do not use caller ID. So if you call into the program, we don't capture your phone number, and, well, it makes it a little harder for the NSA to get it. They have they have more tools in their toolbox than we do. But, Joseph, if you want to complete your thought, I'd be happy to hear you out, and give us a call back at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. I have a couple other topics I want to mention, but you know how it is when you're on your way to figure out something else or research something, you stumble across something else completely unexpected? Well, it happened to me today, and I want to ask your advice about something. I went to a website that lists 10 blogs about progressive liberal politics and philosophy, and it's compiled by some neutral agency called the People's Media Company, AssociatedContent.com. And I was pleased and a little surprised to learn that Mother Jones Magazine is operator of the number one political blog of the left, according to this AssociatedContent.com website. And I'm interested in that because I won't tease you. We are in conversations with Mother Jones Magazine, and we're going to form a little partnership starting in September. So we'll be talking more about the news available at the Mother Jones website, and you'll hear more from Mother Jones editors and reporters in their investigative stories. And I think it's going to be a great match that should enrich our program and hopefully will enrich Mother Jones as well. So anyway, I go to this website, Associated Content, read this lovely thing about the Mother Jones blog, and here is a paid listing above the information about Mother Jones. And it reads thusly, Ann Coulter's column, free. Get Ann Coulter's weekly column delivered to you free via email. Now, first of all, I'd never pay for it. No effing way. But I want to ask if you think it would be wise for me to monitor the ravings of Ms. Coulter by submitting to receipt of her weekly email column. And I'd like your advice on this because, on the one hand, I don't want to encourage Ann Coulter. On the other hand, I subscribe to a lot of email blasts from Arnold Schwarzenegger, Ken Melman at the Republican National Committee, and a lot of other places that I find distasteful, but I do it so that I can research what the other side is doing, what they're saying, and just what the nature is of their current attacks on the other side. So I'd like your advice. Should I hold my nose and give my email address to the people who distribute Ann Coulter's column so that we know what she's up to? Or should I take a higher road and simply ignore her and say, well, there's nothing she has to say that I want to hear anyway? That's true. But sometimes in the line of duty, we make compromises. So if you have advice for me on whether I should subscribe to Ann Coulter's free column, or maybe you want the address yourself and you want to be a little bit masochistic like that, let me know. 888-5-PETER-B is the number. That's 888-5-PETER-B. And let's see who's here up on line one now. It's Julie in Carmel. Good afternoon, Julie. You're on the air on the PBC show. Hi, Julie. Oh, Julie bailed. Line two, it's William in Monterey. Hello, William.
Hello, Peter B. Let's not take the high road, please. Let's take the low road. Let's get the down and dirty with Ann Coulter.
Okay, you think I should?
Absolutely, dude. But give her a phony email address. Don't give her one that you'll get bombarded with a lot of stuff. Just so you can go in, take a peek, see what's going on, and bail out.
Well, all right, let me see what happens when I click on this link. Stand by.
Okay. That's not what I call about.
All right, we'll hear you out.
Okay.
Just a second.
Okay, good.
So you go to humanevents.com, offers, and then you sign up to receive Ann Coulter. Here's the plug for her. Ann Coulter is without a doubt one of the most controversial commentators in America today. Revered or reviled, depending on who you ask, Ann writes a weekly column that promises to be full of her trademark wit and scathing sarcasm. All right.
Wit? Who are they kidding? Wit? This lady funny? Hello?
Yeah.
Nothing funny about her.
All right. Well, I'm going to take it under advisement here, William.
Okay.
And we'll see at the end of the hour whether I actually go through with it or not. What did you call about?
Okay. What I called about, Peter B., since this is a free speech hour,
yeah.
I am ticked off. I am so angry with the Concours d'Elegance this past weekend here on the peninsula.
Oh, what happened?
2 years. And over the years, say 10 years ago, you could go down to the conference center in the Doubletree and you could walk around, you could see all the nice cars. You could get right up close. In fact, you could even go into the conference center and look around.
Yeah.
Then they started closing it down so you couldn't go into the plaza there. They charged you money.
Right.
This year, they had fences all around the, they don't call it the Doubletree, whatever that hotel is now.
Well,
you couldn't even get close to the place. And so, you know, and I'm a poor guy, you know. I'm not an owner of a radio station like you are. I'm just, you know, one of the poor folks here. And so I drove out to Carmel Valley. I said, well, I'll go out there and see the Concorso. They used to have the Italian cars out there. Well, that's some fancy tent, and they got champagne and the whole thing and a $155 ticket.
Yeah.
Peter B., what about the who live here. Wouldn't it be nice just to let us kind of take a peek at these things?
Well, you know what you might do is take a look. The foundation that receives the revenues and the profits from the concourse, and I believe the AT&T, is run by Clint Eastwood, and, or at least he's connected to it. I don't know all the details. But you might look into contacting them and asking if they might arrange for some number of tickets for community members. And see if they would agree to that for coming events. Because I agree the ticket price has escalated, and it's become much more of an exclusive and exclusionary event.
Exactly. And the thing that I wonder about, and I didn't know this, and you're telling me something that's interesting, is the money that's raised from all of these events, does that go to the local charities like the AT&T? I have no problem with the AT&T because it all goes to charity.
Yeah.
But I'm not aware that the money from the concourse goes to charity.
Well, that's my understanding, and I want to admit that it's secondhand. My friend Charlie Maher was staying with us the last couple of days, fresh back from the concourse. He is a fine artist who paints automobiles, and he's based in Detroit. He comes out every year for the concourse, and that's when I get to see him. And he told me that that is the case. You might look into that, and maybe there is a friendly back door that could be open for people who live and work in the area who can't afford the Tony ticket prices.
Well, Peter, I just want to say thank you very much for letting me have the form to do that today.
You're welcome.
My spleen.
What are you driving, William?
Beg pardon?
What do you drive? What kind of car?
Oh, gosh, I'm embarrassed. It's an Acura MDX.
Okay, well, that just gives us an image of you behind the wheel. All right. Go fill her up, and we'll feel your pain.
Okay, you please do, and I'll feel yours.
Okay.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Next line is Dennis in King City. Welcome back, Dennis. How are you?
Hey, good, Peter. How are you?
Doing great.
Hey, listen, I'm glad you brought up the press conference of Bush because I've never felt so many different emotions listening to the whole thing. I think out of all, besides anger and frustration, is I keep on asking myself, when will people get it? The man is a liar. And he catches himself, he hangs himself every time he talks, but where are the Democrats? Why are we hearing them saying these things he said during this press conference?
Well, and forgive my language for a minute here, Dennis, but you'll get it. Bush has exposed himself as a liar.
Yes.
Clinton exposed himself to an intern who actually wanted it. I think that Bush's exposure is much more problematic and much more deeply a violation of our law, his oath of office, and the trust of the American people. And we've got to press Democrats to stand up and make this point very clearly, because so far, The Daily Show on Comedy Central has provided the best analysis of the president's admissions on Monday.
That's right.
And we've got to make sure that it trickles down to the people who are now diverted by the guy who alleges that he killed JonBenet Ramsey.
Yeah.
And that is such a bogus story that has been misrepresented by the media purely for sensationalism.
Yeah.
And we need them to pay attention to the transgressions of this president and the future of our country instead of a 10-year-old murder case that wasn't a national story to begin with.
Right. You're right on, Peter. I don't know if you heard Tom Harbin this morning discussing with a fella that researches serial killers, but he basically said Bush is a man with no conscience.
I didn't get to hear that, but I understand the point.
And I'm telling you, the Democrats think that they're going to walk into the House and the Senate. If they don't come alive pretty soon, they're in trouble.
Yeah.
Because this guy's given an opportunity every day.
Yeah, I mean, we have less than 80 days to the November election.
Exactly.
It's really time for Democrats to get a clear message, draw a clear contrast with the administration, and they don't have to sink to the depths of lies and misrepresentations.
No.
The truth is enough to set us free, Dennis.
You're right. Absolutely right, Peter. Right on.
Thanks for your call, buddy.
You bet.
All right. We'll take more of your calls here in just a moment. There are two lines open at 888-5-PETER-B. Troubling news to this radio host. The federal judge who, I believe, did us all a big favor and embraced the Constitution over President Bush's power grabs last week, Anna Diggs Taylor in Detroit. The New York Times reports today that that judge is a trustee and an officer of a group that gave at least $125,000 to the American Civil Liberties Union in Michigan. This appears to be a conflict of interest for the judge, because the ACLU was the plaintiff in the class action suit that also included our friend James Bamford, who was on the show on Monday. And I'm sorry to report this, because I think that it's a vulnerability that will be heavily exploited by the Republicans, who attacked her at first opportunity over the ruling she made. And, of course, they use the pejorative phrase, Democrat. She's a Democrat judge. She's an activist Democrat judge. And damn it, she's given them some powerful ammunition that could be used to undermine her credibility and ultimately could undermine the ruling because it could be challenged and vacated before it gets to the next round of appeals courts. That's my knowledge as a layman. I could be wrong about how all that works, but it does seem to be a serious vulnerability. More of your calls coming up after a quick break. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to talk with us. 888-573-8372. Email's working again. peter@peterbcollins.com. You're listening to the news. KRXA 540.
Hi, this is Scott Flewelling of Sunset Massage Therapy in Carmel. I opened Sunset Massage Therapy so that locals and visitors could experience the benefits of therapeutic massage without having to pay for the additional overhead of a fancy spa. I'm a nationally certified professional, and I'll tailor my treatment to your individual and therapeutic needs in the clean and comfortable environment of my new massage studio. Sunset Massage Therapy is conveniently located in downtown Carmel on the corner of Mission and 8th, right across from the Sunset Center parking lot. Come experience the relaxing and stress-reducing benefits of therapeutic massage. To schedule an appointment, call 625-3878. That's 625-3878. Mention KRXA and receive $10 off your first treatment.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, host of the Tasty Planet radio show. Every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m., I explore the world of food, wine, and travel across the U.S. and around the world. I interview nationally known writers, winemakers, chefs, restaurateurs, brewers, and others that make our world so delicious. Join me and my guests every Saturday from 1 to 3 p.m. for tasty news shows, or visit the Tasty Planet on the web by going to www.tastyplanet.org. Listen in and have a good appetite.
People are talking about the show. Weekday mornings 9 to 10 on KRXA 540. Does it really suck less?
You guys are in many ways so self-referential that it doesn't let a guy like me feel like he can be part of the conversation.
We try not to be too self-referential, and we'll try to catch ourselves. I appreciate your call.
I wish I knew what that meant.
I wish I knew what that meant. Okay. But you're sucking less than you used to.
Good afternoon. Let's take a look at your drive in and around the Monterey Bay area. Still dealing with a problem in Salinas. Spence Road just east of Highway 101. An injury crash. Your two vehicles collided head-on earlier on. They've just been moved to the shoulder, and the injured party's off to the hospital, so traffic is improving. Both sides of Highway 156, now pretty heavy between Castro Village and Make Your Way just before San Juan Bautista. Eastbound 25 bogging down now in pockets between Gilroy and Hollister. And Highway 1 not dealing with crashes, but we're seeing some stop-and-go action between Santa Cruz and the Capitola area, and, of course, the southbound side of the highway, heavy company heading into Monterey. This look at traffic brought to you by Centrum. When it comes to multivitamins, it's not just the number of ingredients, but it's how they interact that counts. Centrum balances combinations of nutrients to bring out their full potential. Centrum is balanced and complete. I'm Alex Daly with traffic on KRXA 540.
It's the Peter B. Collins Show. We continue here in the Free Speech Zone.
Tomorrow on our program, Faz Shakir will join us to kick off the show. Bob Furtick's going to talk about the case against the president and particularly the latest exhibit provided by President Bush himself that he lied about why we went into Iraq. And also Jason Leopold, the reporter from truthout.org, who has covered the Karl Rove investigation from the get-go. He's going to be live here in our secret bunker studio tomorrow afternoon. I get to meet him for the first time face-to-face. Should be great. And next up in the Free Speech Zone, Mike in Eureka. Thanks for calling. Thanks for holding.
Oh, no problem, Peter. Yeah, I would say no on the Coulter thing. It sounds like she's switching to open circulation to increase her advertising rates or something like that.
Well, but don't you think it's my duty to know what the dark side is doing?
Well, she's just, you know, spewing evil hatred junk, you know. I hate to even, you know, hear anybody mention her name.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to just see her marginalized. I know, you know, Fox News props her up quite a bit, but aside from being a spokesperson on Fox News, you know, there's, you know, she really has no other claim to fame other than she's, you know, says extraordinarily outrageous things that the people on the extreme right, you know, think are hilarious, like, you know, kill everybody who doesn't agree with you.
Well, and you know, they target and tag Michael Moore as this, you know, he's the icon of the deep left in this country. And, you know, Michael Moore is a quick-witted guy, a sharp-tongued guy. And why don't they put him on opposite Ann Coulter? I know he's not as good-looking and can't slip into a black mini-dress.
Right, right.
But, you know, if they're...
Well, the reason they won't have him on with Coulter is because he can respond in an intelligent fashion to the crazy, wild things that she says. I've loved Michael Moore since way back when he just went around with the corporate chicken. You know, harassing the corporate fat cats, you know, for corruption, you know, before it got to be too terribly political. But, yeah, they keep beating that Michael Moore drum, but I haven't really heard much from Michael Moore lately. It's just like how they seem to be swift boating everybody besides Hillary Clinton because they've decided that's the person they're going to run against.
There's a new book out by a man who claims to be a progressive who is critical of Michael Moore's journalism work, and I haven't read the book yet. I've got it, and I'm going to review it over this weekend. And if there's something of substance there, I'll invite this gentleman on the show. But Michael Moore has been keeping a low profile. We contacted his office about 3 weeks ago to invite him on the show just to see what the latest is, and he has maintained radio silence so far. I know he's been, the last couple of years, he has been funding and hosting a film festival in Petoskey or one of the towns in Michigan. So that's what I know he's been up to. But, yeah, he has kind of dropped off the radar, except when gratuitous attacks are made to associate what the right sees as far-left policies with the icon they have created of Michael Moore as, again, the goalpost on the very far end, the left end of the stadium.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, I would just suggest to anybody who never has to check out Michael Moore's older work with the corporate crime chicken. I know it sounds ridiculous, but it's really good stuff.
Oh, I agree. He's done terrific things in his films and his television work, and I think he does press the envelope. Maybe sometimes he pushes the truth
sure.
a little bit.
Right. But he does it with a sense of humor, and he's been doing it for a long time. He's not just a glory hound like, you know, the right would have him be.
Mm-hmm.
He's just committed to a cause, and he's been hard at it for some time.
Yeah.
So.
All right, Mike, thanks for the call today.
Call.
You bet. Oh, did you have to say that?
Oh, I mean, it was nice talking to you, Peter.
You bet. Betty in Salinas, you're next on the Peter B. Collins Show.
Hi, thank you, Peter B. This is the first time I've called.
Well, I'm glad. Welcome.
Well, thank you. So what I'd like to say is in response to your comment about Ann Coulter and her sponsored link,
yeah.
I think that rather than subscribe, you should in turn have a sponsored link back to you or Mother Jones Magazine or invite any other leftward, you know, talk show or opinions to sponsor a link right where she is back so that she can know and her other people can know the truth.
Well, and this actually leads me to think of some, slightly creative, maybe underhanded ways of, for example, inviting people to jam this email account There's a very interesting thing that surfaced yesterday. Ballot Proposition 87 would impose an oil well tax on oil extracted from California. And you may not know that 40% of the gasoline we consume comes from oil that was produced from wells in California. And currently, the oil companies pay little or no tax on that to the state, where Texas and Alaska extract taxes of 4 to 10% from the oil companies for the resources that they take from our land. And so this is in process right now. There's a lot of back and forth. The oil companies have raised $28 million to try to kill this baby. And the proponents of the measure bought the web address, the URL, noon87.com. And when you go there, that's the site the oil companies would have if they had gotten there first. But the progressives who put this ballot measure on were clever enough to buy up that domain name before the oil companies could get to it. So now the oil companies are crying foul, and they produced a video news release. You remember that from the Bush administration? They had these phony news reports that they paid reporters to host that promoted No Child Left Behind and a few other measures.
Well, yes, I remember.
The oil companies are now using that same tactic. They released a video news release with unnamed individuals attacking the pro-consumer groups who are sponsoring Prop 87 and who used a technique which you might consider a little shady to buy up the No on 87 website. And I encourage listeners to go to the website noon87.com and see for yourself. It's a page that warns you that the oil companies have sponsored the opposition to this ballot measure, and then it lists the amount of contributions from Exxon, Texaco, and all the other extractors. So it's a very interesting technique. Do you think that's an unfair or unethical manner in which to campaign?
Actually, people don't realize who's sponsoring these things, and if it's out there, and if they buy up the website, I don't see a problem with that. And then they can search down for the next site that they find that may be appropriate if they want to hear a yes, you know. I don't know.
Well,
I think that they should look for their yes or their no and to look at several different resources to
mm-hmm.
find it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what's your bottom line? Should I get the Ann Coulter email or not? You're going to be the deciding vote because I've got one for and one against.
Okay, well, I would say no. I would say just get that sponsored link on her site and do as much as you can. Invite everybody else to get a sponsored link on her site as well. And
okay.
Take the, yeah.
All right. Well,
just
thank you
get
for.
Get away from her.
Thanks for getting up your nerve to call today.
You're welcome. Bye.
Nice to meet you.
Hi.
Well, that does it for the Peter B. Collins Show today, ably produced by Matt Renner. We're going to be back at you tomorrow, same time, same stations, with another great show. I will be off on Friday, so don't be alarmed. Peter Lawfer will be sitting in then.
Happy trails to you until we meet again.
All right, so I fixed the flat tire, but the TV is still broken. The plumber's coming tomorrow. Working through maintenance month here. See you tomorrow.
I am attorney Sean Mills. Sometimes life does not take the direction that you plan. If you find yourself in need of an honest attorney, call me. I can advise you on both criminal and civil matters. Do not settle for an attorney who simply went to college and law school, when you can work with an attorney with significant life experience who uses a common sense approach to everyday legal problems. If you think you need an attorney, I will be glad to offer you a no-obligation consultation and evaluation of your legal issue with no sugarcoating. If you think you have a potential legal issue, it is important that you speak to a qualified attorney as soon as possible. Call me at 831-648-7060. That's 831-648-7060. I am attorney Sean Mills.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A biotech lab in California claims it's overcome the main objection to stem cell research by finding a way to create stem cells without destroying human embryos. CBS News correspondent Howard Arenstein reports.
This could put an end to the stem cell controversy, but judging from initial reaction, probably not.
We can now generate these stem cells without destroying the embryo, and thus without destroying its potential for life.
Robert Lanza's advanced cell technology has found a way to extract one cell to produce lines for research.
We know that at that late stage that we take this biopsy, that cell does not have the potential to create life in and of itself.
But some critics say otherwise. A spokesman for the Conference of Catholic Bishops says the technique raises more ethical questions than it answers. Howard Arenstein, CBS News, Washington.
At a news conference in Los Angeles, two lawyers promised to reveal significant developments in the JonBenet Ramsey case. What patients Van Zandt and Jamie Harmon announced is that they've been retained by suspect John Carr. They were his attorneys before. Harmon said they haven't gotten much information from authorities in Boulder, Colorado, but Carr is likely to remain in L.A. through the weekend.
Bottom line at this point is that they're telling us they don't expect him to arrive in Colorado much before early next week.
A producer hired by Carr's family to market the book and film rights to their story says they're not looking for money for themselves. They want to raise money for Carr's defense and for his children's college education. Randall McCloy, the sole survivor of West Virginia's Sago mine disaster, and the families of two victims filed lawsuits today.
It says that there were problems with that seal. It says that there was problems with the self-rescuers. It says that they did not keep the mine in a safe working order and provide a safe working environment for these men underground.
Rick Dayton of CBS television affiliate WOWK. The suits seek damages from the mine's operator, International Coal Group. 12 men died after an explosion in the mine January 2nd. Only McCloy came out alive. A federal judge in Washington has thrown out a coal miner's lawsuit demanding that the government do more to make sure there are working oxygen supplies underground. The judge says the suit didn't meet the legal requirements to force a court order. The Bush administration's initial response to Iran isn't encouraging. While acknowledging the Iranians consider their nuclear proposal serious, the administration says it falls short of the UN Security Council's demand for a halt to uranium enrichment. Fox News reporter Steve Centani and cameraman Olaf Wieg.